everybody. Welcome to episode 143 of your Overseas Connection. Today, November 21st.
143.
And if you can't already get the vibe, it is going to be a crazy podcast.
Greg.
Yes, Chris.
It's the 22nd.
It should be the 21st.
It's an early podcast.
It was an early podcast.
Because we got to get back in time.
Yeah. And this is the way the podcast has gone so far.
Yeah.
And we're just starting. We're the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And I reluctantly admit to being the host, Greg DeLacy. And joining us this week, a full crew, we've got Mr. Christopher Matthew, better late than never.
Dude.
You
just said it's an early show and I'm here, therefore that negates the possibility of me being late. What is wrong with you?
There's all kinds of things wrong with me. Also on the podcast, Mr. Mike Chin.
Yo, it's a full house and then some, Greg.
It is, indeed. We'll get to that part in a second. Also with us, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yeah. All right. I did. We've got perks for you. Perks.
Here's your perk for the week. Mr. Steve Conger.
Hi. What's up, fellas?
Yeah, all right, Steve.
Now, Steve, all right.
Yes.
I know you're attracted to me physically.
I am right? Stalking you, actually.
But there's no need to follow every podcast that I do.
Podcast stalking.
Oh, God. I'm saying hi,
shitty
fellas.
On the show. Like, it's shitty on the show, Greg.
I'm saying hi, fellas, like I haven't talked to you for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Fourth wall.
Yeah. I don't think there's really much more to say. We've got a big crew.
We need to crack on, Greg.
Yeah, we do. We're going to fly by the seat of our pants. Let's get on with it. What have you been playing?
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
Mr. Conger, let's start with you. There has been an outcry, as in one listener wanted to hear more about Skyward Sword.
I think
that was actually Skull because he was saying it was getting some positive reviews. So he's not really even a listener. Nobody cares about
it. That wasn't me. It was
Let's
Peter G.
Peter G.
I want to know about it because I was quizzing him about it when he was on that other podcast show.
He hadn't really
got into it yet. So I want to know about it. I like the Zeldas, but I haven't played them for a while.
Here's the thing. I still sort of haven't gotten into it. I picked it up and...
Oh, for God's sake.
He's just trying to string
out his appearances on podcasts, isn't he? If I don't play it for another week, I'll get on another podcast.
As the lone Nintendo fan left on the internet, he's going to be selling himself to podcasts very soon.
I played it for a couple hours, I have put some time in, but it seems like with this iteration of Zelda that it's going to be more of a slow burn. A little bit.
All right, Steve, let me ask you a couple quick questions.
Okay.
Do they have actual voices in this Zelda?
No, there are.
Am I still reading text?
it's still reading text. And okay. You know what? There's part of me that doesn't mind that because I am fearful of what Nintendo could do to a franchise of theirs with voice acting. It's not the fact that I never want to see it happen. It's just the fact that I am not entirely sure that they know how to handle that because they've never done it.
I don't think Zelda needs it though, Steve, does it really?
Well, I semi-agree with you. I think that the campaign should actually be focused toward keeping the silent protagonist, but at least voicing everyone around him.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, we can do that. It's just that I know in my head that, you know, Link is probably not going to sound the way that I think he's going to sound. I mean, whether or not they get someone. The only thing, I just don't want Nolan North to voice Link. That's all I'm saying.
If anything, he's going to end up sounding like Mario. It's me, Link.
That would be bad.
It'll be like that one pirate on the Pirates of the Caribbean, which has the absurdly high voice.
Yeah.
Then we shall go to war.
Yeah. catapult. Great.
God. I just think that, Link there's a bunch of different versions of Link, you know, and I don't think that there is anything consistent, nor should, you know, one single voice actor completely make them be bound to one theory of game design. You know what I mean? Or at least character design, I guess maybe that would be a better way to put it. But
so which version of Link are we getting?
You're getting an adult Link. Well, I mean, let's say
the metrosexual Link.
No, it's not like the Cole revision. It's okay. It is it's actually it looks a lot like I mean, I guess you would say it's the Twilight Princess Link with a I don't know, like a twinge of artistic flair to it, I guess, with little stylization, not to the point of Wind Waker or anything like that.
A little feminine. But,
no, but I'll tell you what, Greg, it looks 10 times better than when we saw it a year and a half ago at E3. I mean,
I have heard that.
Wow. Oh, and that filter, they've really tightened up that filter, the distance filter that makes it sort of look like a washed out watercolor. It is beautiful. But Lisa had expressed some interest in sitting down and watching me play it. So anytime that I can get some video game time that involves her, I'll take it, whatever I can get, you know.
Lisa is your wife, just for the
record. Yes, exactly, for the record. And she agrees. Yeah, she is. She's a blow-up doll. That vanilla blow-up. Oh, never mind.
Easy.
She agrees with me, and it's funny that her and I should agree on something like this, but the tutorial parts of Zelda in obtaining a sword and obtaining a shield and all this stuff should kind of be optional at this point, you know? And that's part of where the slow burn comes from. I mean, I've just now gotten my Loftwing, which, you know, I don't know. It's kind of cool. But it sort of looks like Tui from Kazooie, you would call him, from Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If you remember back that much, but that's sort of the idea, kind of. That's what he looks like. But the biggest implementation that they've done, the largest change, is that stamina meter, that little wedge that looks sort of like a piece of fruit.
Okay.
That little circular thing, it looks like the playing piece from Trivial Pursuit.
Right.
And pretty much everything you do utilizes stamina. So, you know, whether it's sword swings, whether it is running, Link actually has a sprint now, like a dash sprint. The only thing that I'm not digging about that is, in order to roll, you remember in the old Zeldas, you could just hit the A button to roll constantly and it would make you progress, you know, you actually traverse a little bit faster. This time, and this is one of the things I'm not digging, and I don't know if I will, but you have to dash and then shake the nunchuck to roll, which I'm really not liking too much.
Dash and shake. Dash and shake.
Yeah, it seems overly complex for what they need. But one of the brilliant things is that with the Wii Motion Plus, the early Wii Motion Plus games, you would have to set down on a flat surface every now and then to recalibrate the Wii Motion Plus. With Skyward Sword, all you have to do is aim at the screen and sort of – I mean, you don't have to center anything, but if you aim at the screen and hit down on the D-pad on the Wiimote, it will make that the new center of the screen. So it doesn't take you out of the experience when you have to recalibrate it all.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Which is it's a nice solution to, you know, an otherwise pretty cumbersome problem.
Question.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have to have Wii Motion Plus to play this game?
Yes. Yeah, I bought the bundle.
I'm done.
With the gold Wii, but you could probably get one on eBay for like probably not even £5, I bet.
Yeah. Okay, like so this wraps up our Skyward Sword talk.
don't do that.
I'm kidding.
I might have rented this or something, you know? It's hard for me to get something to get me to play something on the Wii, right? But I might have rented, like, you know, a Zelda and a Mario. They're different. But,
I mean, do you know anybody that has one that you could just borrow?
I don't know anyone.
Not a person.
I've got one. It's not stashed away, and it's plugged into a television.
Well, you could just mail it to Chinny, then he can try the game.
You could.
No. But, I won't do that.
Yeah.
But, no, it's neat.
My kids
won't do that.
I've got a question for you, Steve.
Okay, go ahead. It's going to be easier for this way.
I know you're talking with regards to the control system with the nunchuck being a bit complex. Yes. I've heard that some of the combat and everything in it is some of the most rewarding that's been on the Wii. Can you see that coming as the game progresses, or have you felt that already?
Do you remember the sword, the sword training place in Majora's Mask? Do you happen to remember that?
I've got to be completely honest with you. I have never played. I played one Zelda game, and I think that was on. Was it on the Super NES?
Okay.
How long ago was that?
Link to the Past, basically the best one.
Years ago. Okay. Yeah, years ago.
So, my favorite, Majora's Mask is my favorite Zelda, just because of how dark it was. But there was a sword training place where, in order to, I want to say, I can't remember if it was a mask or what you would get there, but there was, you know, like these logs would shoot up out of the ground, and that's how you would hone your skills, you know. So you had to slice them all in a time limit. Well, they've kind of done the same thing, but this one, it's almost like they are half chopped, and some are half chopped at a straight, you know, like horizontal angle, and some are at like 90 degree angles back and forth. And you literally have to twist like almost like you're turning a dial. You have to dial that Wiimote to a 45 degree angle and swipe it at that angle in order to cut some of these logs and stuff. And I tell you what, it's man, it's a lot more accurate than I had assumed that it would be, and it's weird because for the most part it kind of works.
Yeah. And isn't there a thing about you can't just wave the wand around to slash? You have to time it properly, and you have to pull it into your body, and then just parry as well, or else they'll just literally smack the sword out your hand.
Yeah.
Like it's teaching.
I mean. I haven't even picked up a shield yet, so I don't know anything about that. But I did do a little thing where I had to run through a small cave section that just had a bunch of keys, which are, you know, the bats, and some gels that pop up out of the ground. And they are, you know, they're relatively easy. But the weird thing is this time you start with 6 hearts instead of 3. So, I mean, I don't know if that speaks to the difficulty of the game or if that speaks to the accessibility that everyone's trying to achieve this generation. I'm not sure. So.
Okay.
But, I mean, overall, Skyward Sword, I can't wait to play some more, but the reason why I have limited myself is that, if I can get my wife to do anything video game related, I'm all for that, you know.
Or is it because you've been playing a better game that you're like, I really dig this game and I didn't think I would?
You know,
I'm just baiting you.
My attention is just so divided at the moment. But I told you guys before the show, I've been playing a lot of Super Mario 3D Land on my what used to be a paperweight but is now my 3DS once again.
Yes.
And Super Mario 3D Land is a clinic on how to implement, you know, Japanese game design in a good old fashioned Nintendo platformer, man. It is so good. And it's exactly the injection that the 3DS needed, because it is just perfect for this. And it does a lot of, I don't know. I mean, I guess it learns a lot of lessons from Galaxy and from New Super Mario Bros. Wii. And, you know, it takes this and it mashes it all together into this just celebration of Mario and adds the third dimension to it. And it is just, it's so much fun.
Let me ask you a question, Steve.
Okay.
Do you think it utilizes the 3D to the same degree as what you would get out of Galaxy 2? Because, you know, they had the original use of the 3D puzzles and so on. And I love the way that they gave you different aspects that you could use, but like Mario running around on a ball on a little globe and stuff like that. Has it got the same sort of thing? Is that?
It doesn't quite go there, at least not that I know of. I'm about halfway through the game. I think I'm on World 5, I'm a little bit past that. But what it does is it takes the best parts of, like I said, like New Super Mario Bros. Wii, and it takes a lot of cues from Galaxy. And what I mean is, the first world is pretty much like basic 2.5D platforming, sort of. Mm-hmm. You know, with a little bit mixed in here and there. And then when you get to the second world, they start 3/4 view angular movement, and they start to place the camera behind Mario for some like head-on levels that, you know. The best way for me to describe it is they change it up all the time, and it's sort of like Galaxy 2, where they will introduce a mechanic and then revisit that maybe, but then they throw it away and they keep on going, and it just doesn't miss a beat. It is it is awesome. And I think that if you indeed pick this up or something like that, or if you end up getting a 3DS, you will love Super Mario 3D Land. It is the first full-fledged must-have title for, new property, not just a remixed old property, but for the 3DS. So I think it is a must-have.
Excellent.
Yeah, I bought one and I've pre-ordered Mario Kart, so I think we'll get this as well.
Yeah,
but don't tell the kids.
Don't let them listen to the podcast.
There you go.
That wasn't the game I was talking about, though, right?
No, I know. I just the one thing I want to say is I've been playing a little Assassin's Creed Revelations, and
Steve. Now you got my attention.
The revelation is that the 3D turned up to 10 full intensity does not look good at all.
The revelation is this game should not have been made.
No, it was for my actual TV.
You play this on the 3DS or not?
No, I played it on my TV.
On the
real console.
Yeah.
It's on a
PS3? Yeah, on a
PS3.
Yeah. PS triple. So I turned it back down to 7. Someone on Twitter had told me to turn it back down to 7, and it looks a lot better.
Because you should believe anyone that you hear on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I'll believe what this guy says from here on out, man.
Internet doesn't lie, man.
No,
it's on the internet.
No, it doesn't. But what I will say is, Greg, you and Rich, you may like both of these because they've added a little tower defense section to this. And I didn't think I was going to like it, but I kind of dig it.
That's cool. A question.
Okay.
Do you get to call in your brother like you did in Brotherhood?
You mean to call them in to attack things?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's still there.
It would be L1, would it be, on the mm-hmm. PlayStation?
I think L2 or something like that.
Can you still train them up like a little kind of mini game?
Yeah, there's still that. This time you can craft a bunch of bombs and things to distract guards and
money bombs, fool's gold bombs, and stuff like that.
Yeah, fool's gold. Yeah, there's pyrite for that. And
I want it. Me.
There's a pretty the intro is pretty cool. It's really intelligent how they do the tutorial where you're back in Masyaf from the original Assassin's Creed, and you are actually following Altair, and he is actually showing you the platforming and the way. So you're literally retracing his steps. And when I say literally, I mean literally. And I think that is so intelligent to do. It works perfectly according to
Steve,
the story.
You have ruined the game. I cannot play it now.
I know. But anyway, try that out. So now, Mike, I see you have something on your list here, and I am going to just kind of bring it up, and I'm going to transition into you talking
Look
about
that.
This.
He's doing the work for you, Greg.
Fucking A. This is where I bring Steve in. I don't have to host anymore. This is awesome. I can just sit here and be silent the entire show.
So
you ought to.
Oh, we don't recommend it. Or do we? Question.
So Stevie went to the Red Box yesterday. And used a coupon code that I had gotten in the email and rented a game. And that game was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 for the PlayStation 3.
So just in case any UK listeners don't know what a Red Box is, it's basically a vending machine with games in it.
Yes, yes. And
movies.
How much?
And movies.
I got it for 85 cents for a rental with that coupon code for a day and a half for 85 cents. Uh-huh. So, but I'm about halfway through it.
How much would it be without the coupon?
$2.12, I think, with tax.
That's
not
bad. That's not bad.
No, I think I'm going to keep it for another day or two.
Correct. Yeah. One day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So, I think I realize why people are hating on this game and why the Metacritic score is so low. It's because I like it. I like it a lot. I mean,
it is.
I'm so exhausted. Like, I think about Zelda, and I think about Assassin's Creed, and I think about Skyrim, and I'm like, oh, these are like the same mechanics. I'm doing the same thing over again.
Investments, yeah.
Yeah, but once I get to playing these games, I'm having fun with them. But it's just like, oh, okay, come on, let's put it in. Let's do it. Come on, let's do it. And this is such a palate cleanser for me that I'm having a blast.
It's you switch your brain off, and you just go, Take me, Infinity Ward. Take me wherever you want.
Yeah, and
tell me a story.
It's a Modern Warfare 3, to me, I mean, Black Ops was the first campaign that I ever cared to play, and I was shamed into playing it. And Modern Warfare 3's campaign blows it out of the water.
It does.
I mean, literally, yeah. That one stage with the water is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
So, but it's Michael Bay. It is just so turned up to 11. And, you know, screw all those user reviews. The user reviews are wrong. And apparently, you know, this to me is more like a themed shooter, like a, I don't know, like a Singularity or like a Rage or something like that. I mean, Rage, this is way better than Rage, but it is more of a popcorny sort of, like I said, themed shooter. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Case closed. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you've just been playing campaign, correct?
Yeah, that's all I'm going to do. That's all I really care about. I want to be in on the conversation, and this time I'm actually glad that I can be.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, you've not finished it then?
No, I'm about halfway. I think the last I checked, I was like 2 hours and 53 minutes, and I think I'm about half of the trophies through the single-player campaign.
Are you playing it on veteran or normal?
Hell no. I'm playing it on normal.
It's not that hard on veteran, honestly.
I figure it wouldn't be, but I don't know. I just want to get in, get out like I did when I rented Spider-Man Edge of Time, but yeah.
He wants the experience. That's what he's going for.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've pushed these games away and dismissed them as being jockey and everything else for so long, and now finally, I don't know, man.
This one, you don't want to like stop enjoying it, boy.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot, and I it makes me wonder how much that Glenn Schofield and you know Sledgehammer, you know, because he was so great at storytelling in the original Dead Space that I think maybe a little bit of that rubbed off.
They're good at setting. They're great at kind of. You know, like that intense.
There are some great settings in this game.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing was, I just got back from New York from Comic-Con, and I've traversed a lot of those streets, so when I was doing that stuff, I'm like, man, I was just there, and this looks pretty freaking realistic, you know. Yeah. So, kind of neat. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Mike, let's transition right into you, as Steve directed, you know, because we've got to follow
Steve. I've been playing more Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been playing the multiplayer and everything, and it's fine, you know. Like, one thing I'll say that I didn't say last time is I like the prestige shop. So, depending on how many times you prestige in previous games, you get kind of you can unlock certain things.
Okay.
So you can unlock double XP for a bit more, so you can level up a bit faster. And there's other things, you know, little attachments and stuff. So it kind of rewards you for how dedicated you were before.
They kind of needed that. That was one thing I always felt was lacking in the prestiging. It was just like, okay, well, you got a different badge and you were prestige, but it's like, what did that get you for in the game? It was nothing.
A custom slot.
They are kind of rewarding you a little bit better now with those prestiges. I think there's some more stuff that I haven't mentioned that I don't know yet.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me there's multiplayer in that game?
I will
just say real fast, Steve, I think one thing you would enjoy, I know you're not a big multiplayer shooter fan, but it's the Spec Ops, which is a two-player co-op, kind of horde mode, if you will, and I think you would enjoy
it.
I like that stuff. I like co-op.
Yeah.
I can always remember playing Firefight with Mr. Conger.
Yeah. That was fun. The whole, like, 3 hours I played Halo Reach, it was fun.
I'll start Gears of War and Chris can go next after me. See, look at that, Greg.
Show is running itself.
So I've been playing a little bit more Gears of War, and I jumped in a game with my brother. Right, so I jump in, and he's just shooting and reloading in a corner.
Okay.
George, who's my nephew, who's also in the room, he's just tagging walls, and then this other character that he's also controlling on like the second like control pad or something, he's walking into him, and then he shoots them, and they're just doing this over and over again for Onyx medals are medals in the game, and you can get them all, you gain like an achievement, and it's like you have to do a ridiculously amounts of active reloads, curb stomps, kills with your Lancer, kills with your Nasher shotgun. Everything. I mean, there's just so many of them. I think you have to do like 100,000 active reloads. That's what daft. And that's what my brother was doing. When I went, I was like, yeah, let's have a game. Oh, what the hell are you doing? Right.
I'm boosting.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
boosting.
I was like, this is not fun. This is not a game. And he's like, yeah, it's fun. Enjoy it. All right.
Watch this. Active reload. Watch this. Active reload.
Brilliant. So yeah, and then they were saying like they need to do beast mode on insane, like without dying.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea.
And so, like I said, I will do it, but only if you let me finish the last four levels of horde mode that I've got to do. And we did that. That was fine. And then we roped two people on this podcast to join us on the. And it, to be fair, I mean, it was quite fun. You know,
it was a blast. It was fun.
We had to do beast mode on insane without dying, and you get an Onyx medal. And you know, like Greg and Chris, like you was kind enough to join in, and it was that kind of like just one more, and we got close. Like we got close, and we kind of got some tactics going on. Like basically, my brother was a wretch, and everybody else was tickers, and he would scream at everyone, and like the tickers would blow him up, and we'd take it in turns, and it was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed that. But I'll let Chris talk about, or you, Greg, you can talk about your experience, what it was like playing with all the chins.
Well, I'll say one, it was quite funny getting into a room and seeing Chinny three different times.
Yeah. So my brother was Chinny 1979. My nephew's Chinny 1998, and I'm Chin Chinny. And
say double chin, some might say.
My other, that's what I'm going to call my son.
Quadruple chin.
I'm going to call my son Double, just to confuse him.
That'd be great, by the way.
And my other nephew, who's like seven now, it's his birthday yesterday. Seven, Jesus. All right, he's Chinny 2004. So, it, like, if when he starts,
there could have been
Greg,
more. Oh.
There could have been more, but like the other, because he's a twin, the girl Madeline, she didn't call herself Chinny. She's obsessed with like dogs and cats and stuff, and she called herself Dog Lover instead. I was like, no, you let the side down there, Madeline. So,
but
chins everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
So, Chris, I'll let you finish up because, I mean, I was there for the first part of the Horde mode or Beast mode, I should say, and. At least one of our games, we got close to completing on Insane. We got to, I think there's 12 levels. I think we got to the 11th, or we were on wave 12, and we ran out of time, basically.
Yeah.
And but it was fun, and we definitely had the tactic, but it seemed like we were never able to capture the magic of that one moment.
A bit of luck, innit? You need that bit of luck as well with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Chris jumped on, and then I probably about three matches in, I had to take my leave.
Mm-hmm. Let us down, Greg, because as soon as you left, we didn't get past wave six after that. Nope. We tried many, many times and said many, many obscenities. We didn't. It was to no avail.
Once they get involved your name, I think, too, probably.
Yeah.
Greg.
Damn, Greg. I think once they get those freaking what's the robot thing? The silverbacks.
Oh, the silverbacks.
And once they have those, it's tough.
They're not. The thing is, when you get close to them and blown up with a ticker, they don't last long.
The trick is getting close to them.
Yep.
Yeah, that is the trick. I will say the other factor that probably played into this, Chris, is the fact that it was like 3 o'clock in the morning their time.
Yeah.
I think they were getting a little tired.
Never mind, George is a 13-year-old boy, and my brother said a number of times, if you tell your mom you've stayed up this late, I will never let you stay up late ever again. And he's just falling asleep, going, "Yeah."
And your brother was, "I'm falling asleep. So, yeah."
Just one more.
It was fun, and I did enjoy it. It's always fun to play.
Don't worry, boys. They'll rob you into it again. As soon as they try that again, they'll ask you to do it again.
Well, so I had a blast.
I sent your brother and your nephew a friend request, but your brother has yet to approve it. So maybe you can prod him along there.
He's got three kids. I don't probably too much.
Yeah, fair enough. Mm. So that was fun. Is it my turn now? Is that how this works?
It is. Yeah, we're just rolling right into you.
Magical. So that was Gears 3. We already talked about. I played some Battlefield 3. Was that Friday night that I joined you guys?
Yeah, pistol.
Yeah. So Friday night we had a little social gathering at work, and I had a few beers, and then a few more, came home, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna play some Battlefield. So I turned on Battlefield, and wouldn't you know it, Greg and Skull and a couple others were in a squad, And I was like, yeah, all right, perfect. So I jumped in the squad, and then I proceeded to just shoot everything except the bad guys. I literally, it seemed like I had turned the sensitivity on my controller up to 20.
But ironically, you were not frustrated by it.
No.
You seemed like you could care less.
I was in my zen mode. So yeah, I distinctly remember dying once and then the jet being available for respawn and kind of laughing.
Oh, God.
So, I'm going to go fly the jet. and then doing some loops and crashing. But it was fun nonetheless. I did score my first ever points with the jet during that session because I think I crashed it in the tank.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. If I go to play Battlefield 3's single-player campaign, because I'm sure you've played it for achievements and whatnot.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Okay.
And say, don't.
Is it really going to be that big of a disappointment for me after playing Modern Warfare 3?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I have no basis of comparison because I haven't played Modern Warfare 3, but it is very hollow, it is very short, and it is very easy.
I played them both back to back, Steve. The other way around. Battlefield 3 first, and then Modern Warfare. Trust me, mate, you don't go back.
Should it be something that I should experience anyway?
No, not really. It's pretty forgettable. Okay.
Do you need to experience gay sex? I'm just saying.
Oh, wow.
Easy.
Wow. Jesus. We could have homosexuals listening to the show.
I mean, I guess...
There's nothing wrong with that, but Steve is a married man to a woman, so, you know.
Just don't, hold on a minute. You guys telling me there's a single-player campaign in Battlefield 3?
It's on that other disc, Chris. It's on that other disc.
DJ, sir.
You know, they don't care because it's on the second disc. It's like, oh, yeah. Got this.
That actually happened to me. Like, the first few weeks I had the game, I was like, oh, well, everybody's going offline now. I'll try the single player. Oh, I have to switch discs? Oh, fuck that. and so I didn't actually get to the single player until Modern Warfare 3 came out and everyone left me alone in the corner.
So how does that work with the rental? I mean, do they send you both discs in the rental? Or?
Yeah, they do.
I guess Gamefly would send you both discs.
Yeah. Dead Space 2, they sent me both discs. So, yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So that was Battlefield. That was good. Played a little bit more on Saturday morning, and as I said in the forums, on Saturday morning I was no more successful shooting anything, even sober, so apparently I should just be drunk all the time when I'm playing Battlefield, because then at least I don't get mad about it. And then I played some Forza of Motorsport 4, because I've been continuing to try to finish up the career mode on that, which is going to take forever. I'm on level 42 of 50 for driver affinity. It's a long haul.
Yeah.
And that's only with one manufacturer. And then I broke out Hawks. I blew the dust off of that.
Why?
Because, Greg, there were two achievements left in it. And I was like, damn it. I'm going to get these two achievements.
You know Hawks, right? I was playing that, and I got to about level 13, and the achievements stopped popping up for me.
Yeah, that game had some real issues with achievements not unlocking for people. I had, like, the first couple that I should have got didn't unlock, and so I immediately deleted my game save and started over.
Yeah?
And that fixed it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so I didn't have any problems with the achievements not unlocking. But, yeah, the achievements in that game, a lot of the Ubisoft games have issues with achievements not unlocking when they should. I remember Splinter Cell Conviction had some issues and Hawks had some issues. So, who knows?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that Hawks isn't a very appealing game anyway. So I was playing it. I was like, it's all right, you know, I'll just swing through it. And the achievements stopped popping, and I was like, oh, forget it.
See, I really liked it.
Yeah, there's...
But I like flying games. Like, I thought it was pretty, you know, I thought it was fun. We had, when it first came out, there was a pretty good group of G4TE folks that played it on a regular basis, and that was really? That was always good for a laugh. Yeah. Well, you know, not for long, maybe for a few weeks, but...
Yeah.
So that was good fun. So yeah, I finished up the last two achievements. Now
what the hell was that, Rich?
Hold on a second,
someone
Rich.
Got tuberculosis.
Rich,
I think that was almost that was almost a pig laugh.
He just said, "We laugh."
For the sake of ourselves and listeners, Rich, move the microphone up away from your nose and mouth.
It's level with my eye again. We did this a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, thank you. That's better. Yeah. Much better.
And there's a little button that looks like a microphone with a slash through it. Yeah, when you feel the need to clear several gallons of mucus, just push that. Okay.
Hold on, I'm just going to get my spittoon out.
I'm told that actually will help clear your nose if you push that button.
Chris, so anything else going on besides the finishing up of Hawks?
No, that's Hawks. It. That's it. That's
okay.
It. Yeah, speaking of Hawks. Well done,
again,
Primrose.
We transition nicely right into Richard Primrose.
Yeah. Rich, I'll just make a point. It's not one I've been playing, but I've got Ace Combat, the new one. On my list, and I've heard that's supposed to be really good.
I've heard that's good as well.
I played the demo. I like some of the things they did with it. I wasn't that impressed with the helicopter bit.
So do barrel.
That was what kind of turned me off of it, was the helicopter bit.
It's supposed to have some good AC-130 stuff in it as well.
Yeah, see, I don't. I guess to me, when I play Ace Combat, I want to fly jets around.
Yeah.
I don't want to sit in an AC-130 and.
I looked at Call of Duty and went, we should do that.
Yeah, well, so did Toy Soldiers Cold War had that in it too, didn't it?
I don't know, did it?
They did.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because they're funny. They're doing it in it like
they are funny because it's melted plastic everywhere. Yeah.
Do you think I'm funny? Do I amuse you?
My clown? Well, do I amuse you?
All right, clowns. Yes, Rich, continue on.
Yeah, I've been playing... Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary.
Oh, yeah. 2001.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the new one.
The new one, yeah.
You should have finished with that, Rich.
Why?
Because that would have segued into me nicely.
All right.
Instead. Well, yeah. It's okay. Oh, it's all right. No, let's talk about it.
I'm not a professional broadcaster.
Neither am I. Who am I kidding?
So what do you think, Rich? Because I'm tempted by this game after having read some comments on the forum.
Well, I'm probably unlike a lot of people. I played the original one on a Mac with a mouse and keyboard.
Okay, yeah.
And I did really enjoy it. But going back to this, I really like what they've done with it. I think it's great, yeah. First of all, I'll just quickly go into the multiplayer because I don't think a lot of people have talked about that. So they've put the original maps on and everything. The one thing that I noticed was... The size, I was only playing classic mode, so I don't know if it changes when you're playing different modes with the other playlists. But they did seem as if you used to get in Halo 3 and Reach and so on, you get like a wide expansive maps and then the close quarters stuff as well. It just seemed like most of the maps on this were quite close quarters. Very vertical. I played...
Yeah.
What was one? One was called the one big open one that I did play was called Hang 'em High.
Yeah,
that was quite good. And I do. Somebody might tell me that I'm wrong, but I'm sure you're they've wrong. Changed the physics when you play in the multiplayer. Did they boost all of the jumping in free? Was that when it all went big time bunny hopping and stuff? Because
I think two is quite.
I think two is
yeah.
What happened.
Well, I never played two, but it just feels like the jumping is a lot more realistic, and muted. So it makes it more of a proper shooter. You know, it's all about aiming. It's all about running and gunning. And I really enjoyed it. I had a good session on it and liked it a lot.
Now, Rich, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So the multiplayer, that's actually in like Halo Reach.
Yeah, you have to redeem a code and then you can install everything onto your hard drive and then you just put your Reach disc in and it'll go in the playlist for Reach as well, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can play it without Halo Reach?
Yeah.
Just the maps? Okay.
Yeah, you can play without a code or anything straight off the disc. That's not a problem. Yeah.
I know a lot of people were giving it grief because they kind of remade the original code in it for the Halo campaign, but for the multiplayer, they just actually remade the maps in Halo Reach. So it's the Reach engine.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Yeah, it's not in the Reach engine because if you go onto the different playlists as well, it's got all of the, you know, the multiple choices for what loadout you're going to have, you know, for the extra shield and the jetpacks and stuff. But if you play the classic mode, it is strictly as it was originally. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. So the original Halo both ruined and revolutionized first-person shooters to come afterwards.
Yep. Yep.
Does... I mean, and I guess maybe
ruined
I should...
It didn't ruin it.
Oh, it ruined.
Come on. He's just saying that because it ruined the PC gamers.
It's a very troll comment.
Listen to me.
Made consoles relevant.
It actually gave a health solution by regenerating shields and things like that. It gave a great solution for that. Okay. But by the same token, it turned first-person shooters from that point on into a bunny-hopping mess.
Yeah, okay? You know.
So, what a witty
retort.
Well,
but prior to that, you had Unreal, which was, you know, Unreal Tournament games,
like
which were basically just
mess.
Yeah, strafing mess with speed.
That, back in the day of real first-person shooters, I miss that so much.
Like playing a shooter on meth.
But anyway, like, does this game, I mean, does it do anything different? Does it introduce, does it layer any different kind of mechanic in? What does it do that the original Halo didn't, if anything?
I don't think
for multiplayer or campaign.
I mean, either way.
It gives you nostalgia in the fact that you can play it in the classic mode and you've got the better graphics. But then also, it gives you the chance to experience what you've got now. If you're like a mad Halo fan and you like playing in the style of Free and Reach and so on, then you can do because you've got the other modes there to cater for that.
I don't think the point of it is
to advance anything. The key point of it is, it is a brilliant marketing ploy because what they've done is, for anybody out there that didn't have the Xbox, they've just played Reach and they can actually pick up the story and see what happened afterwards. So I'll go on to the campaign because...
I'm now a professional broadcaster,
and I'm going to segue into my
the reason. The reason I ask is Star Fox 64 3D for the 3DS. It still sort of retained, you know, most of the original assets, but they redid some of the stuff. But they re-recorded all of the dialogue.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like that's the kind of stuff that I'm interested in. Did they re-record any dialogue, or did they? You know, what did
I'll tell
what
you
did
what? They... Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
In the campaign, because what they have done, me and Greg was talking earlier about any time while you, I mean, a lot of people have talked about this, when you're playing the campaign, at any time whatsoever, you can press the back button, and then it'll take a timeout, and then it'll show you how that looked originally.
Does it happen instantly?
Yeah, more or less. There's a slight transitional period, and then it just shows you what it was, and you can carry on playing as it was. And you press the back button again, and it'll take you back to the revamped classics. And it gives you a nice little montage as well before you start playing, so it's you know, you've always got the great orchestral scores and that in Halo, so it gives you a bit of that.
Wonderful.
They did remaster the music.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is... I mean, the entire package from the HD portion of it has been redone. And, I mean, in all fairness, it looks great. I was shocked at how great the game looks compared to the original. In my head, the original looked so much better than it did. Mm-hmm. And when I was going back and see, you know, you hit that back button to see what it looked like back in the day, and you're just like, holy crap.
So does it look more... It looks more aesthetically consistent with all the recent, like this generation of games?
Yes.
Okay. Correct.
But, right. Steve, to answer your question, what they're giving you extra, which is what stuck out to me the most, and I've only seen two of them up to yet, is the terminals.
Okay.
Right? So when you go to the terminals, you've always had terminals before, you're getting... the backstory, and I watched the first one. I was really impressed with it, and I went out and because the Halo thing, I think because I was so segmented in the way that I played the first one on the Mac, and you know, it was just a shooter for me. I wasn't really paying attention to the story. I missed two. I picked up on Free, and Free for me was all about the multiplayer because it was when I first got an Xbox. And then obviously Reach, they made a really big thing about the story. So that's when I got interested in the story. But now, going back to this now, when you go to these terminals, what it's given you, I think they've taken original concept art that they had, and they've now given you more, filling out the backstory for you.
Okay.
So, so you're getting, you know the monitor that's in it?
Yeah.
The first one that you see, it's basically giving you, like, the foundation of where the forerunners, or whatever they're called, the guys that they come from, who invented them, the technology and all that lot.
Does that look like they're in floating halos?
But anyway, it gives you, like, a good montage of, like, the concept art and starts giving you the story. And I've unlocked two of them. Okay. I've never been bothered about seeking out the schools and stuff, but
yeah.
I'm really quite interested to find out what's in these terminals and the backstory for all of that.
So all it does is it sort of links it together a little more. It's not like Han shot first, but Greedo shot first. Like it's not that type of thing. So they're not changing it drastically.
No.
Okay.
No,
they're not changing anything.
Steve, you just became my hero.
Here's the okay. Wait a second. One last question, and then I'm done. I'm done being inquisitive.
Right.
Okay. Maybe
forever.
The one last thing is, can you go between the old and the new pretty shiny graphics in the middle of, like, cutscenes?
No.
Okay, so whatever it's on at that point, you're stuck.
Yes.
Okay.
No. You only get the what they've done for this time around.
Oh, okay.
All cutscenes are pretty cutscenes.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So are they pre-rendered then in this time? Because that used to be a big thing for the Halo.
They're in-engine. They're in-engine.
Okay.
But they're, they're not pre-rendered in that sense. So they're not CGI.
Yeah, it's as they were in Reach.
Okay.
They've done a considerable amount of work.
Yeah, I mean, the best cutscenes I ever saw in a Halo game was Halo Wars.
Well, yeah, but those were all pre-rendered.
Oh, yeah.
They were pre-rendered, yeah.
And they were outsourced to another company as well. So.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, when you hit the back button and you see what the game looked like originally, and then you go and you see what the HD version looks like, you truly get an understanding of how much work they actually had to do in recreating this. Things that were, they've added so much texture work and lighting, the whole nine yards. I mean, it is, it feels like a completely different game.
I might, I might have to rent this and re-ruin first-person shooters all over again, maybe.
Yeah. Well, Rich has sold me. I'm going to go buy it.
I might have to try it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you the one big thing to be taken from it is it bodes well for the future of the franchise.
Yeah.
Because I think it's in safe hands, to be honest with you. You know, Bungie leaving and all of that.
A few people from Bungie who still love Halo and wanted to work on it went to 4-3.
Yeah.
You could understand. If you work at Bungie and you're like, I'm sick of Halo, I've been working it for 10 years. Forget this. But there are going to be people that go, you know what? Like, I love Halo. This is all I want to do.
I'm off to go and do the new Nukem game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you create a universe and you kind of want to. You kind of want to work with it. I mean, I guess I'm kind of in the minority among the G4TE types. I actually find the Halo story to be somewhat interesting, so I'm very interested to get hold of this and go check out some of the backstory.
Mr. Matthew, I am, like you, very interested in the Halo story.
We're all coming out.
Yeah, we're coming out of the closet, damn it.
Well, I mean, they've written books, so there has to be something to it.
I actually have read three of their books. And what's interesting is going back and playing this, you start seeing little things popping up that before, when I first played Halo, I had no, like, it really didn't matter at all. But now, like, hearing the captain of the ship saying, I'm following Cole Protocol. There's a complete backstory to Cole Protocol. There's an entire book written about the Cole Protocol. Huh. So, a lot of just good stuff ties in with this. And then kind of a side note, a part that Rich can't talk about is the Kinect implementation. Mm-hmm. So Kinect, and yes, Mr. Typing, I hear typing. I will look to see if there's actual questions being asked. But Kinect has been implemented into this game. And it's interesting the way they've done it. Some of it works. Some of it feels a little gimmicky. God bless them. So for Reach, as you're going through – or sorry, for Halo's anniversary, as you're going through the single-player game, using Kinect voice commands, you can say scan. And suddenly you go into this like scanning visor mode. And you have a reticle, and you will see like the – it's kind of like a blue screen, if you will, and items that you have never scanned before are going to be kind of gold in color. And you can basically approach them, put your reticle over it, and then say scan, and it'll scan over that and add it into your library. And this library basically is all the different items you've come through and found in the game, and it'll tell you more stats and things about them. You can look at them in three-dimensional space. You know, so like rifles, that kind of thing. And it just, again, adds more to the backstory of Halo. Also, you can actually use voice commands for things like grenades or reloading. So as you're going through and playing, you can just shout grenade.
That would be terrible.
And you'll toss a grenade. I think the funnier thing is I actually was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about being able to grief a person as they were playing. So all you have to do is somebody's playing, start just shouting grenade and reload, and your character's just going to start tossing grenades and reloading.
Well, I'd be playing in like co-op or whatever, and I'd be like, I need to find some grenades. Oh, now I really need to find some grenades.
Man. You know? When are they going to do something engaging with these motion controllers?
They can't. Yeah, they can't think of anything, so they just go for the obvious, and then they realize that it's an absolute waste of time.
In my head.
Well, you need
to write them. I keep telling you, Steve. Write them.
No, because then somebody's going to steal my shit.
Post them to yourself.
File for a patent.
I'll just say one thing to the game's detriment as well. The AI does seem dated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For the aliens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, just I'd whack the difficulty up a bit.
I'm playing it on heroic, and I'm thinking about boosting it up to legendary.
Look at me. Legend, I am the law.
Did you check any of the old strategies, like the old FAQ files and stuff, and see if they still work?
No.
You should try that. You should look it up, like on just some of the scenarios you're doing, just to see if they've changed any of the AI or anything.
Well, I've heard. I mean, everybody's saying that it's. They haven't changed the AI.
No, it doesn't feel like it's changed.
Yeah, that's actually part of the problem.
Yeah.
The AI in the original Halo.
But they're moving like a 10-year-old game.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it is a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
And they really haven't tried to change any of the core mechanics.
I think that's part of its appeal, though, you know?
No, it is. It is part of the appeal. And so,
you know what's interesting about this line of discussion? I was reading an article a couple of days ago. Someone was complaining about the AI on Battlefield and Modern Warfare 3, how they all sort of follow the scripted kill zone. You know, every AI just runs to a designated spot and pops their head up to shoot and goes into cover and plays whack-a-mole. And I don't think they were quite that bad in Battlefield 3. But the author of the article actually said, you know, hey, they sorted this out in Halo 10 years ago. What are we doing wrong? So I think it's funny that we're criticizing it, even though according to some people, it's 10 years ago Bungie had it better than some developers have it now.
All I'd rather say to that guy is I'd rather shoot any fucking Marine that's trying to get into my Warthog and drive it.
True.
Oh yeah,
true. And they've never been able to figure that out.
You never want to let the friendly AI drive your Warthog. No, that's instant death.
Get out.
Then they drive it in Halo.
If you get on the gun, they'll jump on it and drive you right into the middle of the...
I remember on Halo 1, they didn't.
I'm killing people pointlessly then, because there's no way they're getting in that fucking driving seat.
It might be in Halo 1. I remember playing Halo 2 and freaking out that they got in and drove it.
Yeah, I think in Halo 1 it was more scripted, like they got in to drive, or they were already in the driver's seat and you got in to man the gun. Versus when it was supposed to be something where you were driving, they would get up on, you know, automatically onto the gun type thing.
Mm.
So they kind of pushed you in the right direction, whereas in future games it was kind of optional.
I see.
And then you drove into rocks.
Well, we spent a lot of time talking about a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
Primrose, finish up your list.
Yeah, Battlefield 3, as Chris said, I had quite a few sessions on that. I was up till about 3 a.m. I think that Friday when we was all playing. But yeah, that was good times. Had some good laughs on that. I got married to Dark Souls. I had to do it. I love Dark Souls.
Hey, Rich, our buddy Yoda the Third. I sent him my Halo Reach after I finished it, and he was going to send me $25, and I told him just to wait because I knew he bought the collectors of Dark Souls, so he is actually going to send me that and the strategy guide, and I'm going to send him another $20 PSN card. So I'm going to get the tin. None of the codes have been redeemed, nothing. So I am excited. I can't wait.
Nice.
I can't wait.
I don't like RPGs. I don't like RPGs, but I love this game.
This is as hardcore as it gets, brother.
I might be alright in Skyrim then. So now I'm about nearly 20 hours in. So level 27, warrior class. Didn't talk much about my actual campaign. Warrior class. I got the Drake's sword, which is what Greg was talking to me about. So I've got a kick-ass sword and everything. Man, I just love this game. Combat is such a dream.
Does the royal class still exist?
I don't think so. No, you've got a wanderer, a thief, the depraved, which is the naked dude with the wooden shield, warrior, your mage, thief.
There's a hunter class.
And the hunter... I think that's about it.
See, the royal...
Oh, no, it's pyromancers. Well,
okay. Yeah. The royal in Demon's Souls was sort of like your kind of battle mage. Like, he had his little his silver wand and was pretty good at range stuff. And that seemed like that was the easiest way. I've read a bunch of tutorials and from people, and I'm kind of sad that doesn't exist in there. That's what I was playing in the first one.
Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, mine's... I've not even touched the magic yet. I think I've got, like... You've got three slots where you can put your quick weapons that are always visible in the bottom left of the screen.
Okay.
I've not got any sort of magical attributes whatsoever, and my top slot is completely empty all the time, and I'm figuring that's where you would be putting your magic weapons if you could do, but I ain't got any. But I've got some kick-ass... combat stuff, and I'm loving the sword play in it and everything, and it's really, really good.
Now, is it still duct taping your controller button down to hold your shield up the whole time?
But the thing is with that, you can't do that all the time because your stamina don't build up when you've got your shield up, so you've got to use it wisely. But it's getting the whole timing thing right with the combat is awesome. And the AI, which we've just been talking about AIs, the AI in this game is so demonic. It's unbelievable. Yeah. You will, because you're grinding all the time, you will go back and you will do fights over and over again. But they learn what you're doing. At the minute, I've got a bonfire, I go through a path, up some stairs, and I've got to go into a church all the time. Because I'm trying to get past these two gargoyles.
you need to go to church every day.
Yeah, at the end of this point, there are three skeletons, which are some of the base... Not skeletons, sorry. Three undead, which have got swords and shields, and they're like the most basic combatants you'll meet to start off with, yeah?
Yeah, right.
And you can go in within three swipes, because you're quite leveled up, you can take them out. But you give it a couple of times when you've gone past... And they learn what you've been doing. And you'll find that the next time, when you go to get the archer first, the other guy's made a little bit of a shivvying run to you. And before you know it, when you turn around, he's there on your back. And it's so clever, the AI in it. It's really, really good.
So isn't it, even though it's terribly frustrating, is it not some of the most rewarding gameplay once you surpass and overcome?
Yeah, and you always get something out. I mean, last night I played on it probably for about 3 hours, and you always get the fact that you're going to grind. I mean, I tweeted last night saying, oh, I dropped about 15,000 souls tonight. But I did get to kill the headless demon downstairs. There was like a gimpy demon that's got one leg, and he's stumbling around, but he's right kick-ass. He takes ages to kill.
I love Japanese people.
Oh, man, it's just...
I really do. I love that.
You're not insinuating that the gimpy demon with one leg is Japanese.
No, but this is the
it's their imagination where they come up with these things.
Yeah.
It's just true. Awesome. And the start, the design of all of the characters in it is really, really good.
Yeah.
I like graphical stuff like that, you know. It's got a bit to do with what I do for work and everything, but the amount of work these people have put into creating these monsters and stuff, it's unlike anything you normally see. It reminds me a lot of, remember the old 70s films like Jason the Argonauts and Sinbad?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, so, so good. Enjoying it.
The way that I would sum it up is I never thought I would care so much about an RPG that really has no story.
Yeah, but that's the other great thing about it. You're not being taken away from the story by being disappointed by really bad voice acting and stuff.
Because there is no story.
No, well, there is.
It's not good.
It's not important.
Yeah, man. You go on Wikipedia, there's plenty about the story. But no, it's enough. It's minimal. And it's one of them things that's always making you want to learn more.
Some people want to learn more.
Yeah, some say that. No one says
that. Want to know more?
No, I think there's a lot of things like one that Greg can't put down. It's a lot of sort of build your own story, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And I tell you what I am really excited to see as well is obviously I'm going to top out eventually, and I don't know how far in the story I'll get to, but I think once I hit about level 50, there's this whole you know how you've got your different factions in games like Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got your factions in this, obviously, but something I never knew about the game to start off with was this whole online side to it where you can invade other people's worlds.
Yeah.
And because these beasties are really bad, but if I don't finish this game, I could still see myself getting into that where you can go hoarding into other people's games, either helping them out with bosses to gain loads, massive, you know, influxes of souls, or just going into, if you join a certain faction that's on the dark side, that gives you free rein then to go and invade people's games and start griefing them. Or if you
it's only certain people's games.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically somebody from the light side would have to kind of cross into, say, the dark side's area.
Yeah.
They may send you off to stop them.
Yeah, but at the moment I've aligned myself with the white one because I know that by doing that, it basically closes a network that are available to see my game so that most of the people that will be roaming around in my game will be people from that white clan, and they don't want to bug you because that puts them in the bad... there's like a cursed book.
Okay. I don't want to dive too much into all this because.
There's plenty more weeks to talk about it. I'll be back. I know we're going to.
I don't want to. You know, ruin all your material for next week.
No.
We should just have Rich start his own podcast.
the Dark Souls Chronicles.
Dark Souls podcast.
Come to the weekend, I'll just do like an half an hour monologue and then I'll just send it to you.
Rich, anything else?
No, that's it for me. Carry on.
Okay. Excellent. Look, I'm not going to take a ton of time going through my games because, one, we've already talked about Gears of War 3 and Halo Anniversary Edition. Skyrim took up the vast majority of my time, but we did talk about that pretty lengthy last week. The game is just still, to me, fantastic. And I think the main reason why it's fantastic, for me at least, is when I'm talking about some of the events that happen in the game, and Steve, you and I were talking about this earlier today, it's like they're short stories in and of themselves. And so you start recanting kind of what was going on and what was happening, and literally it feels like you're telling somebody a short story from a book.
Yeah.
And I know there are sites out there that have actually already done things like they're just actually creating short stories based off of their experiences in the game. I know other sites are talking about doing things like this. And – I saw Garnet Lee tweeting all weekend long kind of in a similar fashion, just little snippets of his adventures. So But that's the awesome part of it. I love that part of this game. I think that it makes those water cooler stories work.
I still don't think it's the best game this year, though. I mean, I think it still has a lot of problems. But I think
that's up for debate.
It's funny because I play the game. The first 30 minutes are terrible. Then I get out into the world and I'm like, man, this is great. And then I get into something and I'm like, oh, the melee combat sucks. And then I find a treasure map that actually leads me to a real world treasure and I'm happy again. It's like this huge roller coaster ride for me. But all of the positives far outweigh the negatives, I think, for me.
Yeah. So I'll recant a quick little story, and then we'll leave it at that. So one of the great moments for me, I'm traversing to get to a town that I knew I had a quest for, and it was over this mountain pass. And so I decide, instead of taking the road, which would have been the smarter call, I go adventuring off path, heading up this mountain into this snowy wilderness, and I hear a dragon. I don't see it yet, but I hear it, and I kind of round this crest, and there's the dragon, and I'm like, okay, it's on. Here we go. Now, at this point, I had a companion. Her name was Layla. She had been kind of given to me, so to speak, and she was another warrior class, and so we set out to take out this dragon, and we start fighting, doing pretty well, taking it down. And suddenly I'm hearing and seeing another creature firing fireballs at the dragon, at us, and it quickly just becomes this chaotic situation. And apparently we stumbled upon a lich that was a named creature in the world. It goes by the name of Koris, I believe. K-O-R-I-S. Anyway, dragon dies. Now we're faced trying to kill this lich, and this thing is beyond my levels, many, many, many levels beyond me. And I'm running out of arrows. My companion, one of the things in the game I noticed is that your companions don't really die. When they get hurt to the point of kind of going unconscious, they in a sense kind of, you know, go to a knee and they start to regenerate their health. And then when they get to a certain point of being able to function again, then they start fighting again. So I'm seeing my companion having this happen to her over and over again. I'm now hiding behind a set of rocks because I've run out of arrows.
You coward.
Yeah, I'm literally like, what the fuck am I going to do? I'm screwed. And so then I notice some arrows sticking up in the snow that I had fired, and because I was panicked, I just completely missed the lich. Not that they were doing a lot of damage, but I see the arrow sticking in the snow, so I'm able to pick it up. Now I've got arrows again. You know, just a couple. But so I'm doing this. I'm now moving between rocks, trying to wait for my companion to get revived to the point where she can fight again, and then I'm shooting at the lich, and I'm wearing it down a little bit, not a lot. And then I get this brilliant idea. I realize, you know what, this whole time I've had a scroll, this scroll called Firestorm. And I'm like, I'll cast Firestorm, and it'll do some major damage to this lich. So I'm waiting for my companion to get her health back up so she can engage and kind of distract the lich. So I jump out behind the rock, and I go to cast this scroll. And one thing I had not known, spells, certain spells especially, take some time to cast. And so I start casting this spell, and the lich just turns and starts firing at me. Breaks the spell chain, have to jump back behind the rock. Using more, you know, health potions, I'm pretty much depleting my health potions at a rapid pace. My companion keeps falling down. I'm finally able to cast the Firestorm spell. Goes off, huge explosion, everything catches fire. Unfortunately, my companion caught fire.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She died. Didn't think I could kill the companion. She died.
Oh, yeah.
Lich pretty much was still alive. At this point, I really had to start thinking about a better way to attack the lich, and I reached back into my magic and realized I had to use magic as opposed to trying to use my traditional weapons. Was able to start using the spark. It's like an electricity magic,
right?
And again, using my tactic of trying to go between the rocks, wait out the
cowardly
lich.
Tactics, you mean?
Yeah, full on cowardly tactics. Oh, yeah. But I was able to finally kill the lich, and the spoils of it all were great. I got this very unique piece of armor, all kinds of treasure off the dragon, and then of course I looted my dead companion.
Well, you got it.
Left
really.
Her body in the snow.
You don't want her to die in vain, do you?
And then you got dragged back to the village to be court-martialed.
No, but shortly thereafter, I did kill my horse. They do not do well falling. I took my horse right off a cliff. But yeah, so it's those moments. I mean, just to me, those are priceless moments. But yeah, it is a great game. Rich, you may like it. You may not. Because it is – the open worldness part of it I think will deter some. Mike, I think you will love the open worldness part of it. You will hate the elves part of it.
Yep.
And Chris, it will be crack to you.
Crack.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm a bit reluctant about is combat.
The combat, and what I like is they give you the ability to fight in either third person or first person.
See, when I played it a year ago, I just played third person. I forgot that it was a first person game as well.
And you can switch back and forth, and that's I actually do that a lot. Depending on where I'm at, I'll switch into first person if I'm in a dungeon situation because there are traps and triggers on the floor. It's much easier to spot them in first person. But yeah, again, love it, great game. But that's it. I'm not going to continue on. I think right about now we should transition on over to some new releases.
Brilliant. Right. Okay. New releases. I'm going to read them this week, Greg. Give you a week off because you work so hard.
Bless
even
you,
though we got another professional podcaster who's trying to weigh in on my parade. So I've got to look beautiful around here. So the new releases for this week. Let's start with the Nintendo Wii. We've got Fishing Resort, $20. Yep. Karaoke Revolution Glee, Volume 3, $40. Power Rangers Samurai, $40. Yes. I'm going to read the DS and 3DS releases because Steve's on. We don't usually, but Steve's on. I feel like I have to. Carnival Games Wild West on 3D. Carnival Games Wild West 3D for $30.
Wait, real quick. Being that it's on the 3DS, do they really need to say 3D?
Oh, yeah, they got it.
It's a buzz term.
So it's catches. Carnival Games Wild West 3D 3DS. That's brilliant. Face Raiders Photo Finish. Still sounds wrong, that name. Power Rangers Samurai also comes out just for the normal DS. Sonic Generations is coming out for the 3DS. Tsuzubuki Puzzle Games, I don't know how you say it, for the DS. WWE All-Stars for 3DS. And, yeah, on the PS Triple, I ain't talking about that Wii, the new releases are The King of Fighters 13 for $50 and Tekken Hybrid $40. Anybody know anything about Tekken Hybrid?
No. Isn't this the mishmash between Capcom?
I thought that was... does anybody care about Tekken here?
No, not really.
That's WWE 12, so that's wrestling. If you like wrestling, that's $60. On the PlayStation Network, there's Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. That's the original one. You can download the whole thing. There's no price at the moment. Final Fantasy V.
Ooh.
Yep. Is that a good one, Steve?
Yeah, job system and stuff.
Trick question, they're all shit. Right, learning from the Puyos episode 2. I don't know what that is. Ratchet & Clank Awful One. This is the co-op game with the Move integration, I believe, Steve.
I actually want to try it. I'd like to try it.
For $60.
I've heard, good things about it. $60. Now, who wants to be a millionaire? I remember that when that came out on the PlayStation 1 and everybody was going mad on it. Oh, brilliant. There's some PlayStation minis, but no one buys those. There's no demos. DLC, Dead Island has some DLC. I didn't know this is the first time I've realised this. Bloodbath Arena, it says Arena. I'm guessing it's a horde mode. I'm not interested anymore. $10. And you got some rock band updates and all that jazz. On the Xbox 360... I'm flying through this, Greg. It's like a professional.
I know.
You got Karaoke Revolution Glee Volume 3, $40. The King of Fighters 13 again. for $50. WWE 12 for $60. Nothing on the XBLA. Nothing on the demos. We have the Dead Island Bloodbath Arena, and we also have the Gears of War 3 versus Booster Map Pack. I think my brother is going to be all over this crap.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it's Deals of the Week. Games sure you care about. I can tell you real fast.
But very quickly, that Dead Island thing is $10. But the Gears of War Booster Pack is apparently free. Is that right?
I don't know.
What is it? The Gears of War what pack?
Booster Pack.
Versus Booster Map Pack.
Yeah. I don't know, because... Or maybe it's free because you had to buy the season pass, because remember they have the season pass thing?
I'd imagine they put a price on it if it was just for season. Like, people with season pass would get it for free, and then everybody else would have to pay.
Something fishy going on.
Deal of the week this week is something to do with streets. Basically, old games that people think they were good are going on discount. So Streets of Rage 2 is 200 Microsoft points. Sega Rally Online Arcade, which is a stupid name, 400 Microsoft points. And Crazy Taxi, trying to kid yourself that game was very good, but it wasn't, 400 Microsoft points.
Now, don't forget that this week is on the PC. PC gamers get Batman Arkham City and more Magicka. Magicka, Magicka, Magicka. A great game.
Serious great Sam game. Is on the PC as well. Serious Sam 3. People still playing that. Good luck with that. And there's a game called Sky Drift. Do you know anything about that, Steve?
No, I
don't. I played the demo. It was no good.
More importantly, how can you guys skip over Grotesque Tactics 2 Dungeons and Donuts?
Donuts, yeah. Fair enough. I think Skydrift are trying to cash in on Skyrim. But maybe the people are buying just because they're dyslexic or something. I don't know.
And who doesn't like donuts?
Skydrift was that...
Oh, that's horrible.
I talked about it a few weeks ago, Skydrift. It's like the blur of a plane with planes.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Anyway.
All right.
That's the release of the week, Greg. Done. Yeah.
New releases. Thank you.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. So news for this week. No news quiz. Being that we have a crowded room, I figure we'll read off some headlines real fast of some of the more important things.
God.
You know, don't think you were going to win the news. But come on. But here we go. Some headlines. The new Xbox dashboard is going to be coming December 6th officially. So that's cloud storage, the beacons, all that good stuff. So everybody else gets it on December 6th.
So Greg, are you in on the preview?
Yes,
or no?
I am in on the preview. And
have you used the cloud storage, or is it official yet?
It is there. I have not used it myself because I don't take my profile to somebody else's house to game. But
I'm interested in that.
I mean, I don't. But it. I mean, it all seems like it's going to work easily enough. I haven't seen any anybody complaining about it not working properly in the forum. So.
Cool.
I was thinking about this. Yeah. Right? When I got my Xbox,
it
was for my 21st birthday. All right, that's how long the Xbox has been out. I was 21. Like, I'd love to be 21 now. Jesus, that's how long the Xbox has come out. Like, it's come along so much since it was released.
It has continued to evolve. That is for sure. One feature I did try out over the weekend. Microsoft gave those in the preview build, basically the UFC fight. The pay-per-view fight for free.
Oh, yeah. How did that work?
It worked excellent. So
it was a great fight.
It was a fantastic fight. Dan Henderson is the man. But outside of the fight itself, which, I mean, it was a great card, great fights, the 360 integration, I mean, it all started up seamlessly. There were some hitchiness parts where you felt like maybe your internet connection was slowing down a little bit, where you'd suddenly see it kind of be a little jumpy. But, I mean, on a whole, I mean, it was all in HD, ran, you know, for the most part smoothly. I never had any buffering issues where suddenly it timed out and it buffered or anything like that. And then the cool part was you could pull up kind of an info screen, and some of the things you could do pre-fight were predict the fight's outcome and how it would be so. Let's say it was Dan Henderson versus Shogun. You could say I'm picking Dan Henderson to win by knockout or decision. Or it would be Shogun knockout or decision type thing, and it compares you up, and you can see how your friends, basically voted. So, maybe I picked Dan Henderson to win by decision. Steve, you picked him to win by KO. I could pull it up after the fight and see how we voted and how we did. And it actually assigns point values for guessing correctly versus incorrectly. And if you picked who won correctly, but then you didn't pick the actual person or how they won correctly, you only got, say, 100 points for that. But if you picked both things right, you got 300 points.
See, they should let you wager, but then wager like Microsoft points, but then you get into offshore gambling.
I think it's a not so subtle way of them basically setting this up to be that. Because you see, you pick the whole fight card, and then you can compare it up at the afterwards, and you can see if we were betting, we'd be able to just look right there and say, okay, won. Yeah.
How big was the app download, like the file, the app to download from the store? Because is Netflix like 66 megs or maybe not even or something like that?
No, I haven't taken a look, but I can tell you when I went to download it, it basically downloads the app within, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds. It was a
It's probably significantly smaller than that then.
Yeah, it was a quick download and then, you're up and running. But yeah, so I think a lot of people are going to be happy with the new dashboard. It definitely is a different navigation. It'll take a little bit of getting used to because now instead of going vertically, you're moving horizontally. And you'll use your shoulder buttons to kind of go between tabs. So before you kind of went up and down to get to, video game marketplace or video marketplace. Now you're going to go horizontally along that. But, anyway. So outside of that, we've got some news on Spec Ops: The Line. I know we were all just can't wait for that game. Coming spring 2012 now. So it's just getting pushed out.
That was ages ago.
I know.
That was at E3 you went to, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was supposed to come out, I think, earlier this year.
It looked interesting. I don't think it's going to be anything mind-blowing. But,
I like the story behind it.
I'm glad it's still coming out. It could be good.
We'll see. Another game that was kind of speculated to be coming, and then it was kind of put on the kibosh, and everybody said, it's not. Beyond Good and Evil 2. Concept art was spied in a presentation, and it's been authenticated. So basically, it is real, but just a matter of how much it's being worked on and when it's going to come, we still don't know.
I can't wait. Yeah.
I imagine if they did the HD remake thing, they would release a 2, because they know people care. If they say that, that's a statement that they know people care about the game. Therefore, I would say that they probably release.
You guys can take a drink. I'll say it again. Some of the most fully realized and fully fleshed out characters ever to grace digital entertainment.
Gulp.
Yep.
Activision says more than 4 million Elite subscribers. 4 million. Pretty crazy.
That's all they needed. Yeah, I mean, think about how many people buy that game. They only needed like 10% to kind of subscribe, and it would have been a success. So I think a lot more have subscribed, and they couldn't handle it because it wasn't working. But
But in a lot of ways, really, Elite, it really is no different than a season pass. It's just a little more expensive, but the Call of Duty map packs have always been more expensive than most map packs. So, in some ways, I think it kind of washes out.
I can't believe
I was just saying, not always. They started with Modern Warfare 2 being more expensive.
True.
I just can't believe that people were surprised that it didn't work right out of the gate. I mean, that's the world we live in right now.
Yeah, but like usually, Infinity Ward. And Modern Warfare games are usually like fine with that kind of stuff.
Infinity Ward.
If they pay that kind of money, they should get it working. And it's
they're compensating you time and stuff. So I mean,
they're giving you a free 30 days.
Man, I've become so soft on Activision. It's rather disappointing, actually.
Yeah.
It's
scary hearing you talk about being soft.
All right.
Okay. GameStop. Remember we talked about their streaming service a ways back? Well, apparently now that is going to be requiring retail game purchases. So it's still not – there's still a lot that hasn't been said about how this is going to work. But in essence, the way it's looking, like what they're trying to set up, is that you'll be able to stream games that you buy in retail. So let's say you bought a game on your Xbox. You'd be able to stream it elsewhere. Now, how that works specifically, we don't know. And they freely admitted they still had some things to work out between the publishers. My guess is they still have to actually clear this with Microsoft and Sony. But I think that's what they're attempting to do to keep relevant in the digital download age of the future.
That puts them in some rough waters, I think. I mean, that's really, really – first, a slippery slope and just a tricky position to be in.
But potentially. I mean, I'll give them this. If you really were able to go and buy your Xbox 360 games, you had the license, and then be able to stream it just off of your PC because you weren't at your Xbox, you still had to have the retail disc and put it in. That's a game changer in some respects. But mm-hmm. I just don't know that they're going to be able to get Sony and Microsoft to really sign off on that. So I still have a feeling this is going to be much more PC-focused than it is going to be towards the actual game consoles.
Or just to that tablet. Yeah.
Metal Gear Solid 5. There's big rumors. It's being made. It's coming. And now suddenly the interview with Kojima has actually been kind of – dug a little more deeply into it, and he says we'll probably have to make the game at some point. Huh. Not that they are, but they're probably going to have to. I mean, it still sounds like it's going to happen, but yeah.
Not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon, no.
That's sad. I mean, it's sad to think that, you know.
Yeah, that another one's coming out. That is sad.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's sad. I think it's sad because, you know, like Greg and I had spoken about this earlier, and he said it just seems like nobody wants to make the game. And it is kind of sad because I know I am one of the – probably the only people that loves story time, and I think that Metal Gear Solid 4 was a masterpiece. I really do. I really enjoyed it. I didn't mind sitting there for 5 hours watching cutscenes.
Wow. You really need to listen to the next episode of Veteran Gamers where we talk about cutscenes and shit.
I don't know. It's kind of sad. Sad.
All right. We're going to transition off the news, and we're going to get into the whole biggest flops and hits prediction. So way back in September, remember we talked about the biggest hits and flops?
September.
Yeah. So all the games have been released. Metacritic scores are now in for all of the games that we had on our list.
Scores are in, boy.
Scores are in. So we're going to see how well we did. So first we're going to review. So basically I'm going to run down.
Indie game review.
Oh, nice. All right. So for myself, I had picked Assassin's Creed Revelations, Dead Island, and Need for Speed The Run as being my bottom three. So again, this is strictly Metacritic. We were talking about average scores on Metacritic. Where would they stack up? I think it is worth really noting all the games on this list are actually all very good games. I don't think there are any bad games on this list. It's just where they ranked in Metacritic, comparatively speaking. So we thought we'd have fun with it. Here's what we came up with. So my top three were Uncharted 3, Forza 4, and Rage. Now, Mike, you said for your bottom three, Resistance 3, Battlefield 3, and Dead Island. And for your top three, you had Gears of War 3, Saints Row 3, and Rage.
God, I was so wrong.
And Chris, you, for your bottom three, had Modern Warfare 3, Assassin's Creed Revelations, and Dead Island.
I was going to say 3. Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 3. And Dead Island. And for your top three, you had Skyrim, Saints Row the Third, and Batman Arkham City. And Rich, through the power of time travel, you have at your top three Skyrim, Dark Souls, and Rage. And on your bottom three, Resistance 3, Need for Speed, and Forza 4. And Steve, bless your heart, You actually went the extra mile when you wrote into the show way back when we posed this question out there, and you had for your top picks Skyrim, and you actually gave us what you thought the scores were going to be. So we'll see how close you were. Skyrim at a 94, Uncharted 3 at 91, and Batman Arkham City at 89. And then you had Wrong. For your bottom three, X-Men Destiny, which had you listened to our show, you would have understood these were not part of the list. But
yeah.
You had Spider-Man Edge of Time at 72 and Sonic Generations at 76. Now, Steve, I will task you, if you will, to look up those bottom three for your end because I don't know what those scores are.
Well, it's
are.
Rather funny because I've already done that.
Okay. Well, that is rather funny. Thank you.
X-Men Destiny averaged out on Metacritic between all consoles at a 44.
And you said 69.
Yikes, yeah, and I said 69.
That's scary.
Spider-Man Edge of Time at a 57.
And you said 72?
I said 72. And Sonic Generations averaged out at a 79, and I said 76.
Oh, you were close on the one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I really want to play Sonic Generations. I played the demo, and in 3D it is awesome. Even out of 3D, it's kind of awesome. I really want to play that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that if you choose to. but hey, so I'm going to get into the actual list now. So we'll see how well we did.
All right.
So to kind of recap on the – well, you know what? I'm just going to go through the list. I'll give the Metacritic score, and then we'll kind of recap which were the top three, which were the bottom three. So first on the list, Resistance 3, current Metacritic score is 83. Then we
– So this is the lowest on of all of the games?
Well, no, not the lowest out of all the games.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, okay.
So I'm just giving you what the Metacritic score – we'll go back and I'll tell you which is the lowest. So Gears of War 3 – is sitting at a 91 on Metacritic. Mm-hmm. Now, Battlefield 3, between all three platforms, is averaging 86.3.
Mm-hmm.
Modern Warfare 3, on all three platforms, is averaging 86. Skyrim.
Wow.
Yeah, Skyrim on all three, averaging 95. Saints Row the Third, again on all three, averaging 83.3. Batman Arkham City is averaging 95 on all three. I think that actually may be wrong. It may have come down a point, but I could be wrong on that. Assassin's Creed Revelations is averaging 79.5 between the PS3 and the 360. Uncharted 3 is coming in at a 92. Forza 4 coming in at a 91. And we have Rage between all three platforms an 80.6. Dead Island, all three platforms again, 74. Dark Souls, coming in at 89. And Need for Speed the Run, between the two platforms, 67.5.
Yikes.
And last but not least, The Legend of Skyward Sword has a Metacritic score of 94. So, the bottom three are, from worst to not so worst, Need for Speed the Run, Dead Island, and Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Wow.
Huh.
I've just seen who has all those.
Yeah, yeah.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, three out of three is better.
Greg had all three of those.
Greg cheated. He fixed it.
I know how to spot a bad game.
You need to go back and listen to the show now, I think.
Yeah. Chris, you should feel...
You just know how crap those reviews are.
Chris, you should feel good about yourself because of outside of Legend of Skyward Sword, which is one of the top three.
Legend of Zelda.
All right, Legend of Zelda.
Proper name. Let's do it.
Legend of... I was going to...
Yeah. Batman
The Arkham Ballad City of Irving.
And Skyrim are both... Or all three... the top scorers.
Yeah.
So other games that got close. So close on the bottom side was Rage was just ahead of the others at 80.6 and Resistance 3. So Mike, you would have been doing pretty good there had those scored just a little bit lower. And
Rage was getting tens at first.
I know.
That blows my mind. There were so many 10s handed out this year. I don't know. I mean, have we gotten to a point in the console cycle where we just don't know how to rate these games because possibly they're better than the ones that have come the last 5-6 years?
Short answer.
I don't maybe. Know.
Well, are you looking at user score?
No. This is game critic score. We don't take the user score into consideration because the user scores are much
it's too emotional.
0, 0, 10, 10, 10, 0.
Now, other games that came close to the top three, Gears of War 3, Uncharted 3, and Forza 4, all basically within a stone's throw.
All exclusives.
Yes, all exclusives. But it is interesting to note that outside of Legend of Zelda, the other two and the actual highest rated games, Batman and Skyrim, are multi-platform.
Yeah.
Which I will say this, multi-platform games, much harder for them to achieve a high Metacritic score. Because what you end up seeing is one platform typically drags down the score. And often I was seeing it was actually PC. The PC was dragging it down. Yeah. With the exception of certain games, like Battlefield 3, the PC score actually is the highest score for it. But every other game, it seems like the PC score was the one that would kind of help drag it down a little bit. Even on Skyrim.
I think that speaks to how comfortable these developers are with the hardware now. I mean, with this extended cycle, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it also speaks a little bit to the games themselves and the platforms they're being developed for. I mean, I know that they're more comfortable with the consoles, but certainly when you're developing specifically for consoles in mind, I think PC reviewers and PC gamers also, just they feel slighted even if the game is great, they still feel a little jaded. And Battlefield 3 was the kind of the exception to that rule because they came out so early on saying, oh, we're developing it for PC and we're going to include console. And so I think PC gamers really took to that. And the game, I think, also really shows a big difference. I mean, PC side, 64 player. I mean, you can't compare the PC game to the console game. So, anyway, just a little bit of fun. There's no real winners or losers here because, again, with the exception of Need for Speed the Run, I told you, Mike, I mean, all these games are, you know, above the 70 mark. And, hey, 7 out of 10, that's not a bad score.
There's no real winners and losers here because I got them right. Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it. We're going to wrap up the news section. We're going to go into the show break. I will preface this. We're going to be having a rap song. Have to play it. Modern Warfare 3 versus Battlefield 3. It was a rap. Found it. Got to play it. So at this point, if you don't like rap, you probably want to fast forward just a little bit.
Or Modern Warfare 3 and Battlefield 3. If you don't like those.
True.
Right. Or Infinity Ward.
We'll be back after this.
Bye-bye.
You know what time it is. It's time for another rap battle. This time we've got Call of Duty versus Battlefield. This is war. This is as real as it gets. Call of Duty and Battlefield. Which game is the best? You get one shot. We're just keeping it real. COD,
COD,
a Battlefield.
Battlefield.
Yeah, I'm a Call of Duty fan, man. What can I say? I'm dolphin diving and drop shotting bad kids all day. It's the best game ever, man. I'm keeping it real. It's more enjoyable and more realistic than Battlefield. I don't need a tank to get kills. I use skills, dropping dudes with new tubes, calling intact nukes from the beginning of Battlefield right up until 3. All you've ever really wanted was to be like COD. In Battlefield 3, I need to master true tactics, not just use noob tube gimmicks and spaz scripts. BF3 requires me to work up with the team, lay down suppressive fire, locking rockets on buildings. You can't camp in the corner till I run by your screen. No need to raise the roof, I'm bringing down the ceiling, shooting down the walls that surround your whole team, hopping into jets and pretending I'm Starscream. This is war! This is as real as it gets. Call of Duty and Battlefield. Which game is the best? You get one shot. We're just keeping it real. COD,
COD,
a Battlefield.
Battlefield.
This is war. This is as real as it gets. Call of Duty and Battlefield. Which game is the best? You get one shot. We're just keeping it real. COD,
COD,
a Battlefield.
Battlefield.
All right, Battlefield. Garfield boy. I don't mean to take cheap shots, but I'm coming at you hard. Feel the wrath of my twin Glocks. How can you complain about camping in COD when your maps are the size of an entire country? Then you bust on my spaz grips, tighten those loose lips. I heard that to unlock certain guns, you gotta purchase Battlefield at certain stores. Talk about money whores. Sounds more like selling out than it does like modern war. Before you bring up dollar signs, let's talk COD Elite. $8.99 a month just to see how bad you stink. Looking at the heat maps and where you got killed, I know exactly where you died. It was on the battlefield. Gamer girls lie because size does matter. And when it comes to my maps, they're longer and fatter. This battlefield is scary. All the COD kids scatter. With my tanks and tactics, you might just lose your bladder. This is war. This is as real as it gets. Call of Duty and Battlefield, which game is the best? You get one shot, we're just keeping it real. COD,
COD,
a Battlefield,
Battlefield.
This is war, this is as real as it gets. Call of Duty and Battlefield, which game is the best? You get one shot, we're just keeping it real. COD,
COD,
a Battlefield,
Battlefield.
All right, we're back from the break, and let's just jump into it right now. Community mailbag. Question for show 142. This was kind of one of those I'm searching for a question questions. Black Friday. Do you take part in Black Friday and or maybe something similar? So I know in the UK you guys have, you know, Black Friday is not that big yet, but Boxing Day is a pretty big go out and hit the sales day.
We do have like big sales going on the run up to Christmas. So it is just like sales mad, shops mad, everyone's rushing to the shops.
Okay. So
it's not that one day. There's never that one day before Christmas where everyone goes mad.
Now I know Black Friday is kind of becoming a bigger deal in the UK, or at least Amazon's trying to make it a bigger deal.
Yeah, I think the shops want it. I think the shops are after it. I reckon a few years maybe we'll have it over.
So you still don't you really don't pay any attention to it?
If I said, are you going to get ready for Black Friday, you know, to someone in Britain, they'd probably think I'm being racist or something.
Okay. Now, I would be asking...
I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I'd be asking Rich what he thought, but we're pretty sure Rich has fallen asleep.
Yeah.
So we do anticipate at any point in time Rich is going to come just back into the podcast screaming Battlefield 3.
Jesus.
In the meantime, though, let's talk to the other guys here. So Black Friday, Steve or Chris. Steve, you first.
You not so much me, but I really feel for my poor retail working wife who this year has to be up at 2 a.m.
Oof.
To get to work. So she will probably go to bed at like 8 or 8:30, you know.
So she's taking part, but just not in the fun way.
Oh, God. I really do feel for her because, you know, retail's a miserable existence first off anyway.
Yeah.
And second off, it's just rough. But, you know, if I was in the market for some kind of Black Friday thing this year, it would be for a new PlayStation 3, you know, because, as you know, mine's yellow lighted for the second time, but I did fix it. But yeah, I think Walmart this year has a Kinect bundle 360 or a 160 gig PS3 with Ratchet and Clank All for One, and I want to say Little Big Planet 2, both for $200.
Yeah, there's some crazy deals coming down,
man.
And they're all over the place. I mean, I originally thought maybe we could list out some of the, but I mean, there's so many places giving out deals this year. And
cheap ass gamer.
Yeah, there you go. Go to cheapassgamer.com. That's good place to go find deals. But, yeah, I mean, and there's even pre-Black Friday stuff, like Amazon, all this week. And there's Rich.
Hey, Rich is back.
Rich is back. FIFA. But, yeah, Amazon, all this week has got crazy deals listing up all the way through it, leading up to Black Friday. So I take part in Black Friday, though. It's become kind of a tradition for my wife and I. We go, we camp out in the morning and just hit it up.
Really?
Yeah. I'll be in line about 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll be getting in line probably at Best Buy to start off with and,
Jesus.
You know,
didn't find
something.
Did you get your PS3 on Black Friday maybe your receiver the year after that or something like that?
Yeah, got a PS3 on Black Friday. I bought a big screen TV on Black Friday.
You selfish
receiver.
Bastard.
Oh, yeah. And it's awesome because the wife signs off on it because we get, you know, no interest through Best Buy. So, you know, charge it away. No interest for like 3 years. It's I can't argue with the system.
You can't be interest free financing. I mean, I guess you could get negative financing, but
right.
Only Toyota offers you that.
Yeah,
in their recent desperation for sales.
Now, Chris, what about you? Do you ever do Black Friday? No.
No, and no.
Now, what about Amazon?
No, I'll go online and buy some stuff, but okay. I don't go out and brave the craziness. When we were younger, sometimes my wife would troop out and go take care of all of our Christmas shopping on Black Friday, and I would just kind of give her a high five on the way out the door as I was opening my first beer. Because the day after Thanksgiving, I just do nothing but lay on the couch and regret having eaten an entire pumpkin pie and three turkeys. just generally, so
okay.
I do love some pumpkin pie.
So, Rich, I'm going to pull you into the conversation. So, we were talking about Black Friday, Boxing Day kind of deals. Do you take part in any of these special sales days at all?
My contribution to it is my wife will leave the house at about 5 a.m. on Boxing Day to go to the next sale, and I like Chris. We'll give her a pat on the bum and say, good luck with that, and switch the Xbox on.
Okay. Excellent.
See, man, that's because you guys have these real jobs where you get the whole weekend off. I got to go back to work on Friday, and that sucks.
That does suck.
Yeah, and Saturday.
Well, at least all the mailers have probably already come out by then.
Yeah, I mean, but it's nice. Part of it's nice is because most of the places are closed, and there's not a lot of people out. They're all out, you know, like mobbing each other. So.
True. It is kind of crazy at times, the mob scene at Black Friday.
I noticed there's some stores that are starting the Black Friday deals at 9 p.m. on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. It's gotten a little bit ridiculous.
It's an arms race now is what it is.
I mean, next year it'll be like have a turkey omelet for breakfast and go shopping for Thanksgiving Day. What?
Such a great idea.
Well, Black Friday who loses? Who loses? The poor retail people.
The poor retail.
Well, yeah, because they don't get they got to be in Wednesday night.
Yep.
Man. And you know, my wife always says, if you go, you propagate this kind of behavior, and you know, you're the ones that are pulling people away from their families and all kind of other stuff. And I said, well, I agree.
I feel so bad. I'm a propagator.
Yes, you are. There you go.
Well, Steve, then I stand in solidarity with your wife and everyone else who works in retail because I don't
participate.
God, I'm going to propagate the fucking phone is what I'm going to do.
All right. Let's move over to some of the forum responses. Mike, I believe you are up first. You're going to be taking on those forum responses.
All right. The first one is from Bongar the Sane, and he says, the internet has almost totally finished my requirement to push, shove, get wet in horrible weather, and spend more on parking and crappy food than I would have saved. 90% of our Christmas shopping has been done online. If Mrs. Bongar wants to hit the sales, she's happy too, but not with me, in capitals. And another thing, how the hell am I supposed to have any time to do anything after Santa brings my Skyrim and Halo anniversary? And another thing, Boxing Day is for recovering from Christmas Day, or at least to get your second wind. And one final thing on the other thing, what do you / kids... leave out for Santa on Christmas Eve.
So, cookies, milk, anything like that? Mike, do you do that? Come on, admit it, you do.
What are you saying? He's not real or something? He's real, isn't he? When I was a kid, it was mince pie and like some brandy or whatever it was. And I used to think... Well, if you had brandy at all the houses.
And brandy.
It was basically my mom was like, well, I'm drinking brandy, so
yeah, pretty much. Santa loves brandy.
Yeah, and I'm
playing up the influence.
I used to say to my mom, I was like, isn't he gonna get drunk? He's like, Santa doesn't.
He's got eight magical reindeer. He's okay.
It's all right. It's cool.
You know, you want to hear something funny? My dad, when I was younger, my dad would actually write notes back, but he would write it with his left hand because he was right-handed, you know? So as I grew up and I started to put the pieces together, I'm like, why does the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus have the same handwriting?
And why is it so bad?
And why is it so terrible?
It's awful. My God, did he go to school?
You would write that bad poorly if you had massive paws. Like the Easter Bunny does.
That's funny.
We got another forum post from Burial Worm. Yeah, Burial Worm. He said, if you count Cyber Monday.
Anyone want to help? Cyber Monday?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Yeah, it's huge.
It's like the Monday after Black Friday. A lot of the websites, like Tiger Direct and Newegg, will have Cyber Monday sales. It's basically how they sell off all the crap they didn't sell on Black Friday.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's
I think Amazon was the one that kind of kicked off Cyber Monday, and now they've embraced Black Friday.
So, trendsetters, you know, they are.
We get hammered by Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You know, with the typical like 3-day window of like Newegg or something like that. I mean, and Amazon, we get hammered at the end of that week.
I bet.
Yeah, man.
So he says, if you count Cyber Monday, then yes, I do. But much like Bongo, I do as much shopping from the comfort of my couch as possible.
Yep.
That's smart.
Yeah. Smart. Well, we got another smart person here. Smart. Jamesy76, I'm sorry. He says, no, too busy picking my teeth up off the floor after the last of the office parties leave the restaurant. And this is where I'm at. Christmas humbug. I am not a Christmas fan at all. So I completely sympathize with your point of view. And he says, slightly confused, for us in the UK, Black Friday is the last Friday before Christmas. Same for the US? No, it is a few days from now. It is this coming Friday.
I've never heard of Black Friday being the last Friday before Christmas.
It's referred to as Black Weekend now. This is like, I guess this is what my wife was telling me. This is the new term, Black Weekend.
Black Weekend?
Yes.
It should be Black Week. Wait, we've got that. Never mind.
We have that. It's an entire month in February. I'm sorry. That was inappropriate. You're going to have to kick me off the podcast.
Oh, it's okay.
Now
we'll keep you. I mean, I was gay bashing earlier, apparently. So
yes, you were.
You're allowed.
You guys are bridgeable.
Yeah, I know. Rich, it's okay. We're talking tweets.
So nothing unusual for Rich.
Tweets.
Just have a couple.
Pete Red Dog, he says, of course I'm a fanboy. What you been playing? What the bloody hell has this got to do with anything? You make me sound like an idiot.
It's not too hard, is it?
No.
No, but Pete just sent that over to us. I mean, it was a tweet to the podcast. It didn't have anything to do with the question, but it had everything to do with what you've been playing. He loves song, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the video.
What? He's participating in the podcast. Well done, yes. Mr. Gibbons.
Exactly.
I do have to point out that this strikes me as funny. In the notes, it says Peter Red Dog, and in smaller font, Peter Gibbons, so that we know he has a real name. But the very next participant, our very good friend Parsnip Nose 3000, in smaller font, it says Parsnip Nose 3000.
So to clarify why that is that way.
Because Parsnip Nose 3000 hates his real name, and we must not use it.
He registered on Twitter under a real name of Parsnip Nose 3000.
I know. Well, yes. I see. I know his real name, and it's like Rumpelstiltskin. You can't say it, or he goes back in the toy cemetery or something.
Mix-a-plick.
Oh, sorry, Rich. Go ahead. Read Parsnip's response.
He says, yes, if possible, we buy most of our Christmas presents on Black Friday, and there are always lots of excellent gaming deals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I think Batman's $30 this weekend.
Yeah, Batman.
Best Buy has a truckload of games going on sale for $30 and $35.
I heard yesterday that Amazon were doing Mass Effect 2 for $5.
Yeah, wow. There's some crazy...
Yeah, but that was 2 years ago.
But hey...
So 2 years ago.
It's gear up for Mass Effect 3. Buy it now and play it in the beginning of the year.
Why would I do that?
Why would you play... What was that stupid jet game? We just were talking about
Fox.
Why would you play that?
I told you why I played that.
Yeah, well, achievements. Maybe you don't have all the Mass Effect 2 achievements.
But I do.
Okay, never mind. Let's move on. Emails. Ironically, from Parsnip Notes 3000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sent us an email. He says, hello there, podcast peeps. I'm trying to help Daniel get out the word. This has nothing, again, to do with our question. Just Parsnip being Parsnip, trying to help people out. It says, I want to get the word out about the revival of Friday Night Racing and would be very grateful if you would let everyone know that this Friday, at 8 p.m. PST, 11 p.m. Eastern. We have no idea what time in the UK.
Yeah, it's about as ungodly as this hour.
It's like 3 a.m. Yeah. It's about,
whatever. Dan, yes, Chris.
No, I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay. You're done. Daniel will be hosting the official Friday Night Race Night. So he goes by the name of Carnage, I believe, now.
Carnage is his gamer
tag. Carnage, he's on my
list. But just check it out in the Gate forums. He says, to get us started, a few of us have promised to be there. Betty, Marcanix, and I will be taking part, and we'll welcome any Gate members who wish to join in. So if you like racing, you like Forza 4, Friday Night Races happening again this Friday. Ability is not important, he points out. It's just for fun. He says, and hopefully we can talk Daniel into some silly modes, like soccer.
Have you played the Forza 4 soccer? It actually is kind of fun.
It was fun. It was a blast. Anyway, so he says, don't hide offline. Jump in. Make the lobby grow, as racing is always more fun with people there. Hope to see you there.
I think it should be said, too, that I don't think people realize how much goes into, you know, preparing and making something, you know, trying to organize something like this. So, you know, I think that it would be, if you do have Forza, you know, show up.
Yeah. If I was home this Friday, I would be there.
You're going to be out buying yourself something. Selfish.
I will be. Yeah.
I'll be in Florida.
Yeah.
About 2,000 miles away from my Xbox. Maybe I can get some of those FPS freight sticks that are really long.
I'll be in the party chat talking to them while playing Dark Souls.
All right. So question for the week for next week. That was kind of bad. But yeah, show 144, question of the week. And this was from Mr. Primrose. He came up with this great question. And I'm going to read it as it was originally sent to me. It says, with a mad influx of holiday games, what games have you reluctantly passed over and why? So we've all talked about it. There's been a ton of holiday games coming through. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been games on my list that have been kind of passed by. Need for Speed the Run. Just saying. Anyway. All right, Chris.
Greg.
Community play dates.
Community play dates. The aforementioned Friday night racing session is getting started at 11 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 p.m. on the West Coast, and some ungodly hour in the UK, and some even more ungodly hour in Australia. Actually, they might be reasonable in Australia, whatever, because I think it's Saturday morning by then. Apparently, someone thinks Bum Bum Racing on Tagnut Shift is taking place on Saturday, but I've not heard of that one. Is that on the Wii?
Possibly. You never know.
Yeah.
Or it just could be in somebody's head.
Oh, shut up. Shut up.
Battlefield 3 with the veteran gamers at 6 in the UK on Sunday.
Gross Mountain Time?
Gross Mountain Time, yes. Let's see. So some ongoing events, the Forza – or the F1 2011 Hot Lap Challenge is going down. I believe right now they're racing Silverstone and Nürburgring. Make sure you jump in there and get in early. Each hot lap is going to be scored based on the times, and you accumulate points based on your standings. And at the end of the season, the person with the most points is going to win 800 Billy Bucks. So –
800
Billy Bucks.
Love them Billy Bucks.
Forza Hot Lap Challenge number 3. Sunset Speedway Oval in reverse in S694 or below. So any performance index S694 or below. With one caveat, it must be post-1985 manufacturer. So any car manufactured before 1985 is prohibited. So no Challengers, Camaros.
Basically, all the American muscle cars are not allowed.
No American muscle cars, unless it's neo muscle cars like the new Challenger, the new Camaro. Anyway, yeah, prizes to be announced. Apparently, the R3 Championship, the championship, is still going on. Just finished up with weekend number 3. Congratulations to Bongo the Sane for winning the Road Atlanta track and the Cardinal for winning the Catalunya track. Currently, the Cardinal, Marcanix, and Ginge Ninge are rounding out the top 3 at 43, 41, and 40 points respectively. Right. That's what's going on in community events. Birthdays this week. DNR Perez, Kern 456, Mike, Skidmark 27, and Lakeside JWD. Happy birthday. And welcome to the new members, Gibbon Fiddler, Accessory 20, Step J, Spartan Porn Star, Fleetwood Jew Boy. Where do people come up with these things? Designer 21. And I skipped over him on purpose because I want to say welcome back to Photo Tut, previous member who had taken some time off. So welcome back, Martin. Good to see that you found us again.
Welcome back, indeed.
And am I to read Community Spotlight, or are you?
Why not? Go for it.
All right. Community Spotlight, also from our good friend who must not be named, Parsnip Nose 3000. And it says, hi, peeps. This week I'd like to show my appreciation for those I've come to know as the organizers. These are the guys who go out of their way to organize tournaments, competitions, and challenges. It's their ideas and dedication which constantly keep us striving to find that one last collectible to shave an extra tenth off our lap times and give us our next community game session to look forward to. So a big thank you to Marcanix, David the Alien, Ginge Ninge, Red Toe, that's Uber Red Toe, yep. Daniel, a.k.a. Carnage, Shinyverse, and CP, who are the guys behind our current challenges and events. Your efforts help keep the G4T interesting and fun, and we truly appreciate it. On the subject of challenges, I do want to mention that we still have 3 of our Micro Gamer Score challenges out there. No one's finished the Gears of War 3 challenge, no one's finished the Battlefield 3 challenge, and no one has yet finished the Modern Warfare 3 challenge.
Wow. Have you made the challenges too challenging?
Maybe. But they can figure it out.
Yeah, I didn't realize there's still time for me to get on these challenges. I actually may have to go back and look. And
yeah. So if you're interested, just jump in the old forum there and take a look at the challenges.
Is this kind of still open to anyone then? There.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. And there's prizes to be won. That's the best.
All right.
Prizes to be won. So for the Gears of War 3 and the Battlefield 3 challenge, it's 800 Billy Bucks. And
I'm going to get on this because I thought, I'll let the community have a go. But if it's up for grabs,
fuck
yeah,
up.
I mean, it's been a while.
You know what else is challenging? Trying to get some contact info for your iTunes and Zune review winners. Come on, Johnny Boy, you won Halo 3, Andrew Gold, Gears of War 2. Have these guys not written in yet? Did they really want these games?
Andrew Gold did.
Yes. Andrew Gold got his code.
I did it.
He did. He did indeed.
When did you give him that?
I gave it to him last Friday, Thursday.
Okay. Because he said on Facebook, he said, because he doesn't live too far from me, so I don't want him fucking burning my house down or anything. just to go, like, yo, did I win Halo 3? And I was like, yeah, you did.
You won
and
Gears of War 2.
Did he won Gears of War 2?
She did.
Oh, well, he said Halo 3.
Johnny Boy won Halo 3.
Oh, well, whatever. Well, whatever he won, he said, did I win? Like, he said Halo 3. I'm sure he's chuffed with it. He said, I said, yeah, yeah. He went, sweet, cool. When do I get it? I was like, yeah, we should sort that out.
Yeah, we are still waiting to hear back from Johnny Boy.
Yeah.
So I need him to properly identify himself so I can get the information to him. And if we don't hear from him in a couple weeks, we may have to redraw. Just saying. So Johnny Boy, get on it. You've got
Johnny Boy. Let us know. He might be listening like 10 episodes behind.
Yeah, I know. But so he's got 2 podcasts waiting time. So this one and next one. If we hear from by the beginning of December, hey, we're going to redraw from those.
Sorry, mate. If you're listening to this and going, oh, shit. Or, sorry, mate. But, like, we can't wait too long, you know.
Exactly. All right. Let's wrap the show up. Put a pretty bow on it. If you're going to email the show, maybe answer the podcast question of the week.
Right.
Mike, where would you send that email to?
Greg?
Yes.
You send that email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Done.
Excellent. If you wanted to just maybe just tweet us the response on the question, Rich, if you're still awake, where would you send that Twitter?
At JSS Lifelike.
Oh, man.
He probably would answer it, too, though.
You know,
sounds like a great plan.
He probably would. Or maybe you could just send it to at OC underscore podcast. Thank you for your contribution, Rich. iTunes and Zune reviews, certainly we still want more. Just because our contest is over doesn't mean you don't have to give us one. We'll try and come up with some creative, ingenious way next time to lure you in. But in the meantime, put them up there. We'll make sure to include you in to the show. I guess it's time for closing comments. Steve, why don't you go first and then pass it around?
All right. So, first of all, I just want to shout you guys out. Give me a little chance to come on and kind of shoot my mouth off a little bit. I don't get to do that as often as I'd like to anymore.
It seems like you've been a kind of a podcast whore. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, I know.
We love you, Steve. Don't feel bad about it.
I'm checking everybody's oil lately, if you get my meaning. Yoda the Third. I wanted to thank him. Like I said, he is he's just throwing me the strategy guide for Dark Souls in with the collector's edition.
So how's he getting these things? Does he work there as well?
No, he bought it, but he trades everything in, and I told him, don't trade that in. If you're not going to use the codes or anything, save it for me. I'll find some way to compensate you for it. So I just want to say thank you to him for showing some restraint as far as Dark Souls goes. I take another drink. I want to thank everyone who submits answers for Pixel Tracks, which is my digital video game music trivia show that I do every 2 weeks. And
Talk about it.
Talk it up. Let's go. Come on.
So Mike, you might know some this week.
I struggle on it every week. You're welcome to read out some of my emails, Steve, because as you know, some of them are like, Steve, what are you doing? Like, how am I supposed to know this? I think it's some game about this. Maybe. Like, that's my genuine answer.
But so you know what? Honestly, you'll have to let me know this week, because I think that you will know a good bit of them.
Okay. All right. I'll have a go.
Yeah. Wait, here's one from Mike Chin. Hi, Steve. Damn you, Steve. I have no idea what the songs are this week, but I'll know the third one when you say it. At a guess, I'll say Bionic Commando. Peace, Mike Chin.
Is he right?
Yeah. No.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No. But check that out, because that show lasts each season lasts 3 months or 6 episodes, and by submitting your answers, you can get on the leaderboard, and the winner wins $20 of their favorite gaming cash.
Sweet.
So, awesome. Yeah. And also, happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening out there. Happy Thanksgiving. And, you know, on Black Friday and Black Weekend or whatever, you know, give people like my wife a little bit of courtesy, and don't treat the people who are ringing you up and servicing you like they are, you know, some kind of servant. So
just in general, anyone who works in a shop, just treat them nice.
Yeah. And don't stampede and trample people, please. Okay.
No trampling. It's good advice.
All right.
All right, Chris. All you.
All right. So I'm going to shout out first Daniel Atchison, otherwise known as Karn Edge, because he has been trying to resurrect Friday Night Racing, which for almost 3 years was a lot of fun every Friday night. And he tried to get it going last Friday, and we ignored him because many of us who usually race had committed to finish Gears 3 in 4-player co-op. And there we were doing that. So we're sorry, Daniel. Some of those other guys will be there this Friday. I won't, because I'll be traveling, but next Friday I'm down. And I want to shout out the crew at lousy@gaming.com, a site similar to the Gaming for the Elderly, for people who just want to have fun. I had an account over there, and apparently it was deactivated due to cobweb accumulation, so I restarted it back up today. So what's up, peeps?
I listened to that show. Don't they have a podcast over there, too?
They do.
I like the quality. I like it a lot.
I need to check their podcast out. Let's see. And then, so I'm going to finish up just by echoing what Steve said about being nice to people as you're shopping. Abraham Lincoln said, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. So just keep that in mind. Mike.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm just doing some Photoshop here. Hang on. What? Whoa.
I'm so glad you're paying attention.
This is for something that I'm going to share out now. This is for a competition that we're doing on the Veteran Gamer. I just wanted to give this a bit of a shout out. It's not a person or anything, but whatever. We're running out of ideas on these shares. So veterangamers.co.uk is going to have a new competition on the site by the time the Veteran Gamers podcast is released, which is roughly around Thursday, Friday. So basically what this is it's going to be a collage of games. So there's going to be lots of pictures of characters from games, guns from games, little logos from games, all in one big picture. And you have to try and guess as many as you can. Right?
Okay.
And the person who has the highest gets some gaming cash. I forgot how much it's worth.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think it might be 1,200 points or something, or something like that. Some gift card. If you PlayStation, you get a gift card or whatever it is. But there's 99 games in this picture.
Okay.
Wow.
Hence
couldn't,
is why
couldn't, I'm... Couldn't find 100th, huh?
No, I just like the number 99. I don't know why, I just liked it. So there's 99 games in this picture. Some are a little bit more difficult to see than others. You know, like I've purposely made... some easy, so people have a go and don't worry about it. You know,
do you realize that 99 is technically a better number than 100 for one reason and one reason only?
Oh, God.
Okay. Do you remember, and you guys probably don't, I'm the only one with useless RPG knowledge, but in Final Fantasy, you used to be only able to max out at level 99, okay?
I remember that.
When you maxed out at level 99, that kept you from being able to be affected by any of the spells or the skills that were worked off a factor of 5. So, you know, once they upped it to 100, even though you were invincible, you weren't so invincible anymore. So that is why 99 is superior to 100.
Ah, you learn something every day.
And relatively meaningless. Yeah.
When you ran Steve, you learn something. Yeah, that's it really. I'm sharing out my own show. Who hasn't gone yet?
Rich.
Me.
All right, Greg, you go.
Steve, I want to thank you for coming onto the show. We always welcome you onto the show.
Yeah, thanks. And, I had fun.
I know it was a bit last minute, so I appreciate that. Chris, I'm going to shout you out for making the show because we didn't think we were going to have you on the show. And you... basically gave the big stiff middle finger to something that could have been important. You might lose your job over it, but, you know, probably not.
Okay.
Nah, I think I'll be okay.
Probably.
Yeah.
But thank you. Thank you for making the show.
Well, you know, it wouldn't have been a good show without me, so.
True that.
It may not have been a good show with me, but it certainly wouldn't have been a good show without me.
No. Certainly not. Mike. And Rich, I definitely want to thank you guys as well. You guys always stay up late. I know it's god hours in the morning, so I appreciate you guys putting in the time. So thank you for that. And Mike, an extra little thank you for you. Your package came. I don't know if you saw my WhatsApp message to you, but I got it. It arrived. I was blown away. Thank you.
Yeah, well, to be honest, like, that is the exact replica of my penis, that mold. So use...
I was, blown away again.
His penis
wasn't,
is moldy.
Wasn't expecting that, but yeah.
No, what did I really send you, Greg? What did I really send you?
He sent me a picture of my wife and my son.
He sent you a picture of his package?
Yeah. And I said, if you want to see them again, Greg, I said, if you want to see them again, give me so-and-so fee. Did you get that note as well?
Brett, missed that.
Okay.
You may remember, well, Chinny doesn't know who Brett Favre is, but Brett Favre got in quite a lot of trouble for sending people pictures of his package. So I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Brett Favre was on the cover of Madden, right? He was on the cover of...
Moving on, Mike. Moving on.
Was he? I don't know.
He was at one time.
But it's a canvas picture, isn't it?
Yes. No, it's a wonderful, beautiful picture. Little Photoshop touch up of color. It's a black and white with some blue in it. It's awesome. And, it's going to be right in my office.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Glad you like it. What did your wife and, kid think? Well, wife.
Wife was blown away because she was just like, oh, your package finally came from Mike. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, what is it? And I'm like, you're not going to guess. And she was like, oh, it's video game related. And I'm like, nope. Showed it to her. And she was like, wow. So,
and Colin said,
Colin just passed.
Colin attempt to lick the picture. That was his contribution to that. But yeah, so outside of that, a big happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Looking forward to the break from work. For those of you that get it, for those of you that don't, I feel bad for you, but thank you for being there because I will be shopping. And for those of you that are shopping on Black Friday, good hunting. Rich, wrap it up for us.
I love how you left me to last when I'm nearly asleep.
Rich would like to shout out the makers of fine pillows and comforters everywhere.
And yeah. No, I've just got to shout out Steffi Business, who sent in some nice comments over the Twitter about the podcast. Thanks for that, mate. Always good to have a bit of feedback. And also Lisa A, who's or Lisa E, sorry, or A, I don't know, I'm tired. It's Kevin Nice, good lady.
Okay.
Who he's made her take the step up and go from Viva Pinata and Lego games onto Skyrim. So I'm expecting regular postings on what her level is. And, yeah.
Good job, nice Kevin. One. Good job.
Yeah. And all the guys at 360 Gamercast, especially Webby and all the Dark Soul lovers. Yeah, mum.
Oh, yeah, they love Dark Souls on there, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it. We're done.
And that's the end.
Right.
Horrible.
That's a perfect way to end it.
I'm not going to bed.
He's like totally happy. I think he knows we're going to Grandma and Grandpa's house this weekend.
Mm.
He's like, sweet, I get away from you guys.
Cool, they give me more stuff than these guys do.
Yeah, pretty much.
They give me all the food I want.
But I will take the happy little sounds over his I have an erection sound because he doesn't know what the hell to do with that thing.
Really?
Oh, God, it's hysterical. He's just like, ah.
That's what I like when I have a erection. Oh God, what do I do? How you doing, Rich?
All right, mate. All right, son.
How's the house?
Yeah, good.
Are you decorating? Good. And all that shit.
Not decorating. We had the loft insulated, so I've been up and down the loft for the last fucking 3 days, taking all the boxes out. Then putting them all back in again.
That's nasty stuff, isn't it, that insulation and all.
Shh, I know. Fuck. Tell me about it. I came out red. First day, it came out red raw because it was fresh. You know, it's like glass fiber, isn't it?
Fucking horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I did a whole roof floor and when I was doing like a bricky's labour and stuff. Fuck me. I was like sneezing and itching for fucking days.
Yeah.
Damn it.
For the head takes, Steve just said he just got home and he just took a massive shit.
Yeah. Well, I got to clean myself out because it's almost time for the 24-hour fast before Thanksgiving. So.
Wow, I'm learning so much about you these days.
It's almost time. Well, you got to drink water to make sure your gut doesn't shrink. You know what I mean? So you can drink water for 24 hours, but starting about 1 p.m. tomorrow, it's time to fast and just blindside the shit out of
it. What do you fast? What's the fasting thing about?
Oh, I mean, no big
deal. Just wants to be able to eat as much as he possibly can.
I'm tearing that thing up, man.
Is that why? So you can just eat more?
Yeah. There's no religious meaning behind it.
Well, it's religious. It's ready? Oh yeah.
What am I listening to?
You're listening to some Super Mario 3D Land, baby.
See, this is our version of Duke. Steve holding up his 3DS to the microphone.
No, every now and then I'm just going to go, wah-ha!
So, Rich, pick your top three and your bottom three.
Bottom three.
Bottom three and top. Bottom.
Do you still have mine from that stupid email?
No. Don't pick your bottom.
I do not. I think you only had... I think you picked your top. I mean, you know, Steve, if you want to throw on a couple there, go for it.
Hold on a second. Let me see. Because I can probably go into my Gmail.
Might be able to find that email. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gmails. I have like a whole like long list of two podcasts because it's like podcast at this place, podcast at this place.
Oh my yes, God. Tap. Shut up.
Oh shit! Look at that. I just knew what Chris said. He'd look at work.
I will view and make sure it looks correct as soon as I'm done with this race.
Oh, you motherfucker!
So much for starting early, Greg.
I know. What the fuck?
Just go. I always review that. Like as soon, like what's the section right before that? As soon as we get to that, I'll review the community play dates.
You know what's that one section we do every week? As soon as we get to that.
Oh,
shit. All right. I've discovered something about Forza. It's hard to know when to shift gears if the TV is muted.
It's hard to podcast while you're
playing. If the TV's muted? Yeah.
If the TV's muted, it's very hard to know when you should shift gears.
He's dead now.
Okay, did you all have pancakes with syrup? Because you're sounding like my kid now.
Syrup.
He's singing.
Syrup.
I had some brewskis.
Metal song. There he is.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
That reminds me, I need a drink.
We'll be back in time for you to introduce her.
Oh, my God.
Just get started. I'll come back.
Just get started.
Greg, just start it, man.
I'm trying.
And the bass keeps running.
See, Mike, you act like you're concerned about starting the show, yet you jump on every moment.
I like what did you want? It's funny.
Oh, it's good stuff. Here we go.
Here we go.
You had like a big window then.
I know, but I heard his footsteps.
I think Rich has a piece of Velcro on his shirt that he rubs on the microphone every now and again.
Pretty sure.
Just for the fun of it. You're gonna break the microphone.
Not to mention my eardrums. Holy Christ. Alright, here we go.
Yep. It's hard.
Jesus.
God, okay, I'm done.
Umless leather chaps.
I was about to say that Rich was podcasting in assless chaps.
I let you down, exactly.
You let us down.
Whoa, what happened?
Hold on. Stop that again, Chris.
Try that again.
Oh, my Skypey.
We
dream
will,
about... Just say random things and he'll dream about them, like fire extinguishers and...
Waterfalls.
Horses.
Waterfalls.
On Sky.
One glass
which,
of mayonnaise.
Which one's his?
He was blue. Sorry, no, he was green.
Okay.
So I'll do his.
He's your favorite color? Blue? No, green. Okay. Ah.
Do the tweets and the email.
Okay.
All right.
What am I? Am I pink again?
No, you are not. You are going to be reading the community section.
The
playdates.
It.
Yeah, but you've got a lot to read, so.
Yeah, I do.
So much fun.
I got attacked by a bag lady once for trying to help her off with her bags.
That'll
and
do.
My mother doesn't regret it to this day.
You know, they get them shopping trolley things and they collect loads of shit in them.
Yeah.
Well, I was only about 15 and I didn't realise she was some sort of fucking nut job. And anyway, I tried to help her off with a shopping bag and she went fucking mental and started slapping me.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.